Welcome to Friday Night Football. It's time for high school football action on WGRC. Tonight's game is being brought to you by the generous donations of the following Thunder Riders:
Millville HBS, Pine Barn Inn, Pondus Farms, Shade Mountain Pharmacy, Steiner's Laundry, Vreeland's Harley Davidson, Basin Coffee Roasting, Better Business Solutions, CR Builders and Sons, Horizon Federal Credit Union, Jeff Connor and Associates Insurance, J.R. Judd Violins, Culp's Transmissions, Melcott Radiator.
Now, let's head to the field for this week's game.
And thanks for joining us tonight. It's week 7 of the high school football game of the week here on WGRC. A lot of great action this season so far. And tonight we have the Sealands Grove Seals at the Shamokin Indians. It's senior night here at Shamokin. Well, the Seals coming in tonight 3-3 on the season, and Shamokin at 2-4, looking to bounce back from a loss a week ago, actually, which was our game of the week. That loss a week ago as Shamokin stumbled against Jersey Shore. I'm Don Castelline. Joining me in the booth, TJ Herzog. And TJ, great to have you on tonight, and looking forward to a matchup here. We're into that second half of the season, and big game for both of these teams coming up here tonight, as always.
It really is, and I hate to say it this early, but playoff push. That's what you're thinking now, and we heard it, you know, from both coaches while we were down on the field during pregame. Focus is a big thing tonight. Both these teams have struggled in certain games, and other games they've played extremely well. So tonight's going to be one of those. We got to have all 11 guys playing at the exact same time to make those big plays to come out and win.
One season ago, Shamokin really, really in a surprising way dominated Sealands Grove. It was a big game for Shamokin last year. It was a 44-8 victory. And Sealands Grove, they have not forgotten how that worked out last night. Not looking to see that repeated. But Coach Derek Hicks says his guys are focused and ready tonight. Well, Chris Miller is on the sideline, and we'll be hearing from the coaches at halftime. And, of course, winning coach at the end of the game. And, Chris, you know, last year, while it's a distant memory, that was a season ago, different faces involved in many cases there, but still, Sealands Grove looking to make sure that a very different result happens tonight.
Yeah, you know, just looking over the course of the season, I think both teams have struggled. You know, they struggled with some key discipline issues, and, you know, I think tonight is going to be about an even keel matchup, hopefully. And talking to both coaches before the game, they both have the same concerns. So it's really going to be a battle to see who's going to sharpen up the mistakes that they made and really focus, like TJ said, going into playoff push.
Well, we're
going
to hear about some of the key playmakers. We'll be hearing from the coaches as we have our pregame for you here tonight. There'll be some other games. John Callahan is producing, and he'll be having that entire scoreboard for us through the course of the night. Games like Danville at Montoursville. Danville, the Ironmen, looking to bounce back from a surprising performance a week ago. Not one of their best efforts of the season, but they have their hands full tonight. Montoursville undefeated. It'll be an interesting battle there, TJ.
I just can't say enough about Montoursville and J.C. Kiefer and what he's done there. It seems like every year, I believe maybe 2 or 3 years ago they had maybe a down year, but every year J.C. Kiefer has his team in the playoff hunt, and they're searching for that district title every year. And I know they want more than that, but that's where you start. Get that district title and then move on from there. So I'm really impressed with Montoursville. And Danville, they have a couple off-field things going on, and they're just trying to put it together and get ready for playoffs. So last week was a really big shock to me with the Danville score.
So we'll see how they bounce back tonight. Other games include Mifflinburg at Loyal Sauk. Both those teams looking to try and, again, bounce back from a week ago. Southern Columbia will be on the road at Jersey Shore. We'll see how the Bulldogs' defense holds up against the Tigers. Bloomsburg will play at Warrior Run. Those are just a few of the games that we'll be hearing about later on tonight. And there's a game actually happening tomorrow. That would be Lewisburg at Shikellamy. So no score update on that one tonight. You'll have to just wait until tomorrow, see how that one plays out for sure. And that, of course, your former school there, the Shikellamy Braves, TJ, you enjoyed a linebacker and a running back for the Braves just a few years back.
I did, and you know, this is one of those nights that I loved. I just came from Texas, Don. It was 101 degrees yesterday.
Yeah, you just flew in today.
It's literally like a 50-degree difference now, 50 to 60-degree difference tonight in what we're going to have, but tonight's perfect football weather. It makes you want to put the helmet back on, put some shoulder pads on, and run around the field a little bit, although I don't know how winded I would get pretty quick. So,
well, glad you did pack an extra layer or two to bring with you here for tonight. We're not too bad in the press box. We'll definitely have a little more fall-like feel to the weather. Well, we will take a break here. When we come back, we'll hear from head football coach for Sealands Grove, Derek Hicks, and get you set for tonight's Friday Night Football Game of the Week, Sealands Grove at Shamokin on WGRC.
Serving Columbia County and all of Central Pennsylvania is Millville HPS, providing solar power solutions for both business and residential, including the design and installation of solar PV systems for generating electricity. They also offer solar hot water systems to heat water for showers, pools, or to supplement home heating. On the web at MillvilleHPS.com. Their telephone number is 570-336-2617. Proudly supporting programming on WGRC.
WGRC is grateful for the support of the Pine Barn Inn of Danville. Located at the base of Geisinger Medical Center campus, the inn's guest rooms feature Wi-Fi and individual climate control. Serving breakfast, lunch, and dinner, the Pine Barn Inn also hosts meetings, banquets, and events. Their wedding packages include planning assistance as well as lodging for the bride and groom. On the web at pinebarninn.com, their phone number is 570-275-2071.
Pondus Farms is helping to sponsor this high school football game of the week, located at 270 White Church Road near Elysburg, featuring a farm market with seasonal produce, canned foods, frozen foods, and baked goods, along with an on-site restaurant, banquet facility, outdoor event space, and catering service, open Thursday, Friday, and Saturday from 10 to 7, and Sunday from 8 to 7. Pondus Farms of Elysburg, on the web at pondusfarms.com.
Friday Rock!
WGRC's Football Friday features top matchups from around the region. It's the high school football game of the week on WGRC.
And looking forward to bringing you this contest tonight. It's Sealands Grove at Shamokin on senior night here for the Shamokin Indians. Don, TJ, and Chris here at the field, and John producing tonight. Again, glad to bring you this Week 7 matchup. Well, the Sealands Grove Seals come in tonight 3-3 on the season. They are 2-1 in conference play and looking to try and really kind of keep some momentum from a week ago. Probably one of their most solid games. They had a victory against Loyal Sock to get them to 3-3, a 30-13 win. I did talk with Derek Hicks, head football coach at Sealands Grove, in his fifth season, just about some of those big positives that came out of that win a week ago.
The most impressive thing, I thought special teams did a great job setting the table, giving a short field for the offense. And defensively, we gave up a couple drives. Loyal Sock was driving, and twice, one time Josh Nyland, the other time Teague Hoover, were able to step in, intercept the pass, and return them deep into Loyal Sock territory again, kind of setting that short field up for the offense. And, when your offense only has to go 20 yards, 5 yards, it certainly makes it a lot easier to get points on the scoreboard.
Kind of interesting to watch the scoreboard each week here this season. You just kind of never know exactly what's going to happen. And I guess that really plays into the fact that every game, looking at that as being a competitive game, and just those small things turn out to be really big things. As you look at Shamokin away at their place coming up here for our game tonight, what are your thoughts when you look at the Shamokin Indians?
I'll be honest, they're a hard team to get a read on this year. Last week they played Jersey Shore, and obviously going back to week two, Jersey Shore was a team we struggled with. And, Shamokin played them tough. It ended up a 35-14 game, but it was tight for quite a while through the third quarter. And, and then I'm watching the Central Mountain film, and that was a game where Shamokin was actually trailing at one point. And, came back at the end to win that one. I believe it was like 12-6 or 12-7. It seems like they're kind of a lot like us. Some weeks, they look really good. And then other weeks, it seems like they're struggling to get the offense going.
When you look at your team, knowing that you've kind of had some of those performances that maybe surprised you one way or the other, what are the indicators that you see on the field with your guys when you know it's going to click and it's going to be a good night?
I think the biggest thing is you can tell in the locker room, they're always fired up. They're always ready to go. But it seems like, you know, you can tell the preparation that's gone in. And, you know, throughout the week, like this week, guys are asking questions about what they're seeing on film. You know, hey, if they do this, what should we do? How do we react to that? You know, and that tells me that the guys are putting the time in and studying the opponent. And that's, you know, the type of stuff that's going to pay dividends on a Friday night.
Some of your guys that might be a little bit younger that you're really leaning on quite a bit. I know you've got sophomore quarterback Danny Shock, and there's others that to go along with some of your senior leaders as well. Have you seen a lot of growth that you're happy with some of those younger guys that you're having to have a lot of playing time for?
Yeah. I mean, lots of new faces. You mentioned Danny at quarterback, and you know, as a sophomore starting varsity, that's a challenge. And you know, each week you can see the game. I think things are slowing down for him. He's making better reads. And of course, out of a young guy, that's what you want. And kind of the captain of the defense is our free safety, and that's another sophomore, Teague Hoover. And that's a guy who, you know, he's a film rat. He's asking questions. And, you know, each week he just seems to be, he puts himself in the right positions, making big plays for us.
Well, Coach, at 3-3, of course, a big one coming up here. It's always sounds a little better to be above 500. Of course, you'll need that win against Shamokin tonight. So I guess should be another charged up atmosphere coming up.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, last year, we came into Shamokin with high hopes and ended up taking some lumps and, lost by 35 points to them. So I think the kids are looking, you know, they're remembering last year, looking for a little redemption. So it should be fun.
All right, Coach Derek Hicks, Sealands Grove Seals, not too far away from kickoff. Thanks, Coach. Appreciate it. Have a great night.
All right. Thank you.
Well, there we have it. The Sealands Grove Seals, 3-3 on the season, looking to try and move forward and get to that winning side on their record. And here, taking on Shamokin tonight. They'll have next week Central Mountain, then Danville, which, by the way, that'll be our game of the week in 2 weeks, Danville at Sealands Grove. And they will close against a team that right now is undefeated. You were just talking them up a moment ago, Montoursville and the Warriors. That's how Sealands Grove will end their regular season. And you said earlier, TJ, this feels like that playoff push is getting started for sure.
And that last week for Sealands Grove, you know, versus Montoursville, that's a great primer going into districts, especially here in the District 4. And that's one that I'm sure both Coach Kiefer and Coach Hicks love having at the end of the season, because that does. It primes you. It gets you ready. Gets your guys focused, because it's going to be that playoff atmosphere, even though it's still a regular season game.
And for years, it was always closing the season with Southern Columbia. So probably glad maybe now it's Montoursville to close the season out.
I'm sure Coach Hicks is glad it's Montoursville, not Southern this year.
I would think so. Well, let's take a break here. When we come back, we'll hear from Henry Hynoski in his second season with the Shamokin Indians, his team 2-4. We'll have that conversation for you as we get you set. Our Friday Night Football Game of the Week, Sealands Grove at Shamokin on WGRC.
Serving Snyder County and much of central Pennsylvania is the Shade Mountain Pharmacy, located along Route 35 just west of Mount Pleasant Mills in the lower level of the Family Practice Center. Pharmacist Terry Trutt and his staff provide answers about prescription medications while also stocking remedies for seasonal and general ailments. Shade Mountain Pharmacy at 570-539-2050, a supporter of WGRC.
Freeland's Harley-Davidson of Bloomsburg is supporting WGRC. Since 1990, they've been selling new and used bikes, parts, and accessories. Their on-site service department performs repairs, restorations, and customizations. In-house financing is available. Bike storage is offered from November through April. Located along Route 11 with hours Monday through Saturday, their phone number is 570-784-2453. On the web at VreelandsHarley.com.
Underwriting WGRC is Steininger's Laundry and Dry Cleaning. For over 55 years, Steininger's has provided dry cleaning service for area residents, caring for all types of garments. Steininger's also cleans and preserves wedding gowns. Featuring drive-through service at 4 Commerce Avenue in Hummel's Wharf and 7th Street in Lewisburg. Also located at 107 West Pine Street in Sealands Grove. And featuring additional drop-off locations in Middleburg, Mifflinburg, Northumberland, and Sunbury. And at Lingle's Market in Watsontown. Steininger's Laundry and Dry Cleaning. Glad to support WGRC.
It's the High School Football Game of the Week on WGRC.
Week 7 of the high school football season, and tonight we are in Shamokin once again as the Indians have senior night, and they are entertaining the Sealance Grove Seals. Great to have Sealance Grove on our Game of the Week schedule here tonight. And a few moments ago, we heard from Sealance Grove Seals head football coach Derek Hicks. Well, Shamokin, they are 2-4 on the season. Had a 2-1 start, their wins against Milton and Central Mountain. But since then, it's been a three-game losing streak. They want to try and break that tonight. Last week, it was a tough loss here at home against Jersey Shore. And talked with head football coach Henry Hynoski for Shamokin. And despite the loss a week ago, asked him if there were some positives he could point to.
I thought the defense really played well overall. The scoreboard wouldn't indicate that, but, you know, they had a punt return for a touchdown and a couple, broken plays with the quarterback, you know, making a couple plays with his feet. But, our defense played well. We were solid all game. And once again, if we just limit a couple of those big plays, you know, we shut them down. So it wasn't that they were, making long sustaining drives. It was just a big play here or there, and that's kind of been our story. So we just have to find a way to limit that and help us win games.
It was a tough defense your squad went against last week as far as Jersey Shore. In order to get things back on track offensively against Sealance Grove, what kind of keys are you looking for?
You know, there are some good things we did offensively too. At times we were able to line up and in our heavy sets and move the football. We had an injury with one of our top receivers, Matt Shikitano, so it kind of took away, some things we were able to do with putting the ball in the air. But with Sealance Grove, they're a tough defense too. They run that three five stack, and they're firing linebackers all over the field. They do a good job firing the backers, hitting the gaps. Defensive line does a good job penetrating in the backfield. We just gotta, just line up and do what we normally do, and just execute. And, like it is any time with a 3-5 defense, you just have to be spot on with your assignments and, expect the guys to be blitzing from everywhere and anywhere. So on point with assignments and execution.
A week ago, Joe Mosser turned in a couple of big plays, one of them on defense with an interception return that really sparked the crowd. Was that one of the best plays you've seen all season long?
Oh, yeah. But Joe gets it done week in and week out, and I'm really glad that he's starting to get noticed because he's an extreme talent at both receiver and at defensive back. The week before he had 3 touchdowns on offense against Lewisburg. This week he comes around with and has 2 interceptions and one he took back for a touchdown. So, Joe's a guy you just got to get on the field, let him play, let him make plays and do his thing because he really is a special talent and a special player.
I mentioned about the 2-4 record and you have the Seals at home, and I know they may be remembering that last year's game. You guys really kind of maybe had that unexpected big win over them, and they probably don't want to see that same thing happen. Just talk about the importance of this game. I know you got a couple of road games coming up in the next few weeks, so trying to get back to the winning ways here this weekend. How do you kind of sum that up?
Last year at this time we were 3-3. We're a game behind of where we were last year, but if you look at the film. It just seems like we're so close in so many ways. It just seems like every play we have 10 out of 11 guys that do their job perfectly, and there's always seems to be one miscue at the point of attack when you watch film. So, even though it's a 2-4 record, we're a lot better and a lot closer than our record indicates, and that could turn over and change, and the ball could roll in our favor here, and it could start hitting right at any time. We're just waiting for that time to happen. We're doing all the right things. And like I said, it just seems like every play we just have, one breakdown at the point of attack. And, 10 of the 11 guys every play are doing their right things. So, it's going to be nice when I always say football is 11 people functioning as one. So it's going to be nice when that happens.
Head football coach for Shamokin Indians, Henry Hynoski. Coach, thanks for the time again, and we're looking forward to what should be a lot of fun.
Okay, thank you very much. I appreciate it.
And TJ, hearing there from Coach Hynoski, interesting that almost identical comments as I chatted with Coach Derek Hicks. he made the same comment about, you know, you can have 10 guys functioning perfectly on a play, and then that one mistake, and it can be a different player each time, but just one miscue will derail the whole thing. And both coaches feeling like they're dealing with the same issue when it comes to that. It's hard to have 11 guys kind of on track perfectly on each play, but that's obviously the goal you want, to make those successful.
It is, and it kills me to say this because I'm a Buffalo Bills fan, Don, but Bill Belichick says it the best. Do your job. He says that all the time. And that's what they need. They need all 11 guys to do their job. And if they do that, yeah, I mean, they'll be successful. But it takes just – you take one play off and you can ruin a whole play. You can defensively blow a scheme that you're trying to run, or offensively, you know, you might miss a block. And that's the sack that you didn't want to happen.
Well, we have a cooler night for some football here. Amazing what a week difference can make. But, of course, it's fall time here in Pennsylvania, so that's the way it works in the football season. But feels like football in the air, and we're going to take a break. We'll come back a little bit more of our pregame, getting closer to this opening kickoff tonight. It is Shamokin hosting the Selinge Grove Seals on the High School Football Game of the Week on WGRC.
This is Brad from Basin Coffee Roasting in Danville, and I am thrilled to support the WGRC radio ministry.
Basin Coffee serves the entire region by wholesaling roasted coffee to restaurants, coffee shops, and churches, offering community fundraisers and private label coffee for gifts, weddings, or resale at 570-764-2740, online at HebrewsTheBest.com from Hebrews 3:13. But encourage one another daily, as long as it is called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness.
Underwriting WGRC Friday Night Football is Better Business Solutions of Danville, providing sales and service of personal computers and the software that makes them function, offering support for both the home and business user. Better Business Solutions, located on the web at wearebbs.com. Their telephone number is 570-275-5844.
Serving the residential and commercial construction needs of Pennsylvania's heartland is CR Builders & Sons of Northumberland, providing single room and full structural remodeling, as well as repairs and handyman services. Projects include custom homes, additions, decks, and patios. The telephone number is 570-551-6711 or on Facebook at CR Builders & Sons LLC, a proud supporter of programming on WGRC.
Top matchups from around the region. It's the High School Football Game of the Week on WGRC's Football Friday.
And we're glad to have tonight for you Selinge Grove at Shamokin. I'm Don Castelline, TJ Hertzog in the booth with me, and on the sidelines tonight, Chris Miller. And in fact, we have two young guys who are joining us here to kind of shadow tonight's broadcast. And whenever I have a moment like this, it takes me back to when I was in middle and high school and I wanted to get into sports announcing. It was my hook for radio, loved it. And well, we have the Kewen brothers here tonight, Pierce, who's in fifth grade, and his brother Luke, who's in ninth grade tonight. And you have love sports for a while, is that right, Luke? Or Pierce, sorry?
Yeah, I've loved sports for a while. I like multiple sports, but football is probably my favorite sport. It has a great atmosphere, the players, and the game is just so intense itself. As I said, I like the atmosphere a lot. Just any level, high school football, high school, college, or pros, all of them have great atmospheres, but it's awesome. Awesome to see a Friday night football game.
So you're excited for what's going to happen tonight then, aren't you?
Yeah.
I think we're almost ready for kickoff. So Pierce is ready. We're getting ready, and his brother Luke is here as well. And Luke, I know you've had a chance to see a number of different groups do the game of the week and or other venues. You've been to the Crosscutters and seen how announcing works. What have you kind of learned as you maybe want to do this as a career one day?
Well, it's kind of just cool to see all the different, like you said, different atmospheres. And even though, like Bucknell, we went to Bucknell a few weeks ago. Even though Bucknell might be twice as big as this, it's still football. It's still broadcasting. It's the same thing. And it's just kind of really cool to see how everything just comes together. And it's really cool to kind of prepare for this because it's like a whole different world, kind of outside of everything else. It's separate, and that's something you just think about and focus yourself on. And it's kind of just really cool entertainment, and it's just probably one of my favorite things to do.
Well, we're glad you're here in the booth. Glad you're excited about it. Enjoy the game. Enjoy watching our broadcast as well. That is Luke and Pierce Kewen joining us here tonight. Well, let's take a 30-second break and station identification, and then we'll be back with the opening kickoff tonight. It is Sealands Grove at Shamokin on WGRC.
Supporting WGRC is Horizon Federal Credit Union, serving residents throughout North Central Pennsylvania, providing a range of banking services, including interest-bearing checking accounts, as well as auto, home equity, and mortgage loans. Online and mobile banking are available, with branch locations in Williamsport and Lock Haven, and ATMs elsewhere in Lycoming and Clinton counties. Online at horizonfcu.org.
Listener supported.
WGRC Lewisburg.
WJRC Lewistown.
WCRG Williamsport.
WZRG Culpmont.
And WGRC.com.
Well, we have had the coin toss. The captain's on the field tonight, and it will be the Shamokin Indians who receive the football first. As Sealands Grove won the toss, they've deferred, so they will have it to start the second half, and we'll see the Shamokin Indians on offense first. They are led by their quarterback, Nate Grimes. And they're also glad to have Bryson James back. He is back actually after an accident in a vehicle with a deer. And we know that happens in Pennsylvania. I saw it's the highest rate of any state in the country when it comes to those kind of accidents. We're glad not any more serious. He missed last week, but I know we chatted with his mom earlier, TJ, and he's suited up and ready to go.
Yeah, and I mean, Chris initiated the conversation, so maybe Chris can tell us a little bit more about that.
What's that?
Bryson James in the car accident.
Yeah, so just talking to his mom a little bit here before pregame, and you know, he was out, he and a couple friends, and just hit a deer, and she said that you know, it was a learning lesson. He's going to fix up the car himself. So, you know, this week you focus on football, and she said he's just happy to be back.
So we'll be seeing the Shamokin Indians on offense. Right now set to kick off for Sealands Grove is Kyle Rule, and we are underway. End-over-end kick is going to be fielded on the 10. Dropped initially, now picked up by Pearson, and Pearson to the 20. 25-yard line and down at the 30, and that is where the Indians will have it. First down and 10. Let's introduce you to Shamokin on offense. Left side of the line, Jonathan Washuda. The senior, also on that left side with him, is Hunter Rodermill. Andrew Nelson back from his one-game suspension. He's in the middle at center. Right side of the line, Corey Malka and Brian Hornberger. Hornberger, one of the anchors up front, playing through injury this season, but wants to be there on his senior season. Tight end is Blake Kane. The quarterback, Nate Grimes, both Madden and Pearson in the backfield, and the wide receiver, a good one, Joe Mosser, had a big plays a week ago. And also, and there, despite an injury last week, Matt Schicchitano had an ankle injury a week ago. He was questionable for tonight, but he is on the field. Well, we do have a five-yard penalty here for Shamokin, backing him up.
Illegal substitution for Shamokin to start. That's not the way you want to start this game for Coach Hynoski.
So first down and 15, just underway. Shotgun here for Grimes. Grimes going to keep it himself. Tries that right side of the line. He's got a little room past the 30, up to the 33-yard line. Let's tell you about Sealands Grove on defense. Sealands Grove runs a 3-5, and those guys up front include Nicholas Schaefer, Nate Schoen, and Trey Bainey. Linebackers on the outside, Brandon Heil and Scott Kissinger. Inside linebackers, Augment, Showers, and Metzger. And then the corners, Brett Four, Josh Nyland, and Teague Hoover, the sophomore, with 50 tackles on the season, playing safety. One of the anchors in the secondary for the Seals. Here's Shamokin now with a second down and 8 after this 7-yard carry. Back to throw. Grimes throws, going for Schicchitano. A little underthrown. Schicchitano almost got his hands under it, but it's going to hit the turf and be incomplete. Third and 8 coming up.
Yeah, third and 8 now. I mean, defensively for Sealands Grove, obviously thinking pass, maybe potentially thinking an early screen. Shamokin here, it's a passing down. If Grimes could have got a little bit more underneath that ball, I think Schicchitano would have had an opportunity to make that first down.
TJ, something to keep an eye on as well for Sealands Grove. It looks like they're getting off the ball just a little early. I'm wondering if they're going to get called for that here in another play or two. Seems like they're leaving way too early.
Third down and eight. Grimes shotgun, keeps it himself. He is going to be met in the backfield and dropped for a loss back at the 29-yard line. So Shamokin now forced a punt. So that series netting minus one in terms of yardage.
Yeah, it's just a QB power that they're trying to run off of that first play that they had a big gain for 7 yards. And Sealings Grove, they sniffed that one out right away.
So back to receive for the Seals. Nyland is deep. Also deep is Brett Four. So set to punt Grimes for Shamokin. He's standing back at his 18-yard line, gets off a kick, and it's a wobbler to about the 44. Caught on the run and dropped at the 46-yard line is Four. Sealings Grove will have it. First down and 10. Good field position after the punt. The Seals on offense on the left side of their line. Nicholas Young, also Vance Metzger. Stephen Miller, the freshman center. Right side of the line, Trey Bainey and Nicholas Schaefer. Wyatt Metzger, he is the tight end. Can both block and catch well. Coach Derek Hicks likes him there. Danny Schock, the sophomore quarterback, standing in at 6'3". Running backs, Dean Hollenbach, Nate Schoen, and then the wide receivers, Nyland and Kantz. Here comes the Sealands Grove Seals. It's going to be Schock from the shotgun. Right of him is Dean Hollenbach, four receivers set. Back to throw, Schock fires, and it's going to be tipped out of the hands at the Shamokin 45-yard line. He was trying to get that to Christian Kantz. It falls incomplete. Here's the Shamokin Indians on defense with their 4-4 up front. Nate Miller, Tate Frederick, Jonathan Washuda, and Andrew Nelson up front. Outside linebackers would be Nate Grimes and Max Madden. The inside backers, Ian Paul, Aaron Frasch, and then the defensive backs, Matt Schicatano, Joe Mosser, and the other defensive back is going to be Wolfgang Pearson. Another pass, this time it's going to be tipped and falls incomplete. It'll be third down and long coming up for the Seals.
That was great pressure there by Sealands Grove. Micah Miller coming into the backfield, getting his hand on the ball, tipping it up, and luckily for Sealands Grove, there wasn't another Shamokin defender in the area to intercept that.
So third and 10 now for the Seals from their own 46-yard line. We have 10:14 to go, first quarter. Shamokin and a three and out on their series. Sealands Grove trying to avoid doing the same. Three receivers set, two of them to the far side. Back, trying to scramble. Schock goes down at his 30, exactly what he didn't want to have happen. Couldn't get rid of that one. And a big, big loss. In fact, it's a loss of 16. So helps to turn the field over for the Indians.
Yeah, I mean, big play there. Big third down. That's, I mean, 16 yards loss, that's going to help change field position, too, for Shamokin. You know, they were backed up on their originally 30, backed up to their 25, so now they should hopefully get some good field position after this punt.
So it's just been one series for each team, but they've combined for minus 17 in yardage. Shamokin set to get it back. Return man on his own 37. The punt by Metzger is off, and it drives over the head of Pearson, and it goes inside the five. So much for turning the field over, TJ. All the way back close to the 2-yard line. So Shamokin is going to have their backs against the wall.
Well, I mean, that was just a beautiful punt. I can't speak more about Sealands Grove's punter on that. I mean, the punt returner, it went at least 15 yards over his head.
I think the wind also helped carry that a little bit tonight, just made it keep rolling a few more yards.
So Pearson had that one sail over his head, and Shamokin going to start this drive on their, we're going to say it's on the 2-yard line here. It's maybe close to the 3. Nonetheless, they are deep back in their own end.
It'll be interesting to see if they come out in shotgun. I mean, both teams, their first three plays running straight out of shotgun.
Well, last week against Jersey Shore, the only way Shamokin able to really run the football was through their power set. We'll see if they go to the ground. And here they've got an I formation. Might be what they do. And here it comes, running back and just plowing forward, but maybe a yard or so on that one. Not much. It's going to be second down and long for Shamokin.
Hey, just a typical power ISO play out of the I formation, just trying to keep that ball out of the end zone and not get a safety.
9:02 to go in this first quarter. We're just underway. Week 7 of the high school football season. Sealands Grove at Shamokin. The Seals tonight enter with a 3-3 record. As for Shamokin, they are 2-4, looking to try and bounce back here tonight. So second down and 10 as that ball was placed pretty close to the line of scrimmage on that first down carry. Two in the backfield, one receiver each side. Grimes lost the snap, I think. Ball's down. Seelens Grove has it on the 6-yard line. And this is kind of how it went a week ago for Seelens Grove. Special teams and defense would set up a short field, and TJ, exactly what happened just now.
Yeah, and that's what Coach Hicks talked about in his pregame interview. You know, he said last week, what you just said, you know, they only had to go 5 yards on their one series, and the other series they only had to go 20 yards. So here they are at the 6 or 7 yard line going in. And that's right where you want to be. That Seals defense, I mean, they jump around a lot, but, man, do they force turnovers.
Chris, we saw a week ago that Shmokin had trouble with the exchange at times. Simply what happened right there?
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, Coach Hinoska is just as baffled, and it seemed like his linemen didn't really have an answer for him coming off the field.
First and goal from the 6, shot from the shotgun, quick handoff, breaking a tackle, stiff arm, and down to the 4 and brought down there. It's Nate Schoen, the junior running back, had a couple of touchdowns a week ago against Loyal Sock, 5 on the season. He is their leading rusher in terms of yardage, 323 yards coming in tonight. Well, that time he picked up 2, so it'll be second down and goal from the 4.
Can't speak enough about Nate Schoen. I mean, we know what he does on the wrestling mat, obviously a state champion, and he was instrumental in that Seelens Grove baseball state championship too last year.
Pretty good on the high school gridiron as well. I formation, shock under center. Handoff is going to go. And into the end zone, it's Nate Schoen from 4 yards out, and the Seelens Grove Seals are on the board.
Just powering his way in. It almost looked like that handoff was going to be bobbled, and it was, and he got hit. I mean, you could have a better view of it down there, Chris.
Yeah, Shmokin was through, but it looked like they just shot the wrong gap, and Seelens Grove back just took a counter step and was pretty much had a straight shot right to the end zone there.
So it's Nate Schoen, the junior running back, having the Seals on the board, 6-0. Now with the extra point attempt is Kyle Rule, the soccer player who's 8 of 10 on extra points. The snap hits the turf, and then the kick hits the upright as the holder barely able to get it down after a bad snap. The kick is no good. So with 7:42 to go, first quarter, it's Seelens Grove 6, Shamokin nothing on the high school football game of the week on WGRC.
Agent Jeff Connor and the staff at the Allstate Insurance Company in Lewisburg are sponsoring WGRC, featuring 24-hour customer service and online policy access, providing a wide range of Allstate Insurance products. They also offer investment advising and financial management services. Jeff Connor's Allstate Insurance office at 1524 West Market Street in Lewisburg at 570-523-9500 and at agents.allstate.com.
High school football action on WGRC.
Well, the first points of the night on the board here for this Week 7 matchup as the Seals have a 6-0 lead over Shamokin, 7:42 to go. Thanks for joining us tonight. High school football action and that extra point attempt. Again, Kyle Rule gave it a valiant effort to try and get it up after what was a difficult snap. Holder put it down, but hit the upright nonetheless. So in no good for that. And the kickoff driving Shamokin to the 5. It's going to be Pearson to the 15, 20, and to the 25, and then down at the 26-yard line, and that is where the Indians will have it, first down and 10. Shamokin right now looking for something positive offensively. They have 1 yard, but they've also got a fumble deep in their own end, which set up Seelens Grove their points. And last week we mentioned, you know, Seelens Grove a 30-13 win against Loyal Sock, and you look at their yardage, they really didn't need a whole lot. TJ was like 150 yards or something total offense, but special teams and defense paved the way a week ago.
Yeah, well, once you're starting at the 5-yard line or the 20-yard line, I mean, you're not going to rack up a lot of yards, but you can still put points up on the board.
And finishing drives, always important, even if it's a 6-yard drive like this last one was, but Seelens Grove ended up with that score. Well, there's a timeout on the field as the Shamokin Indians want to talk about it. We'll take a 30-second break. Coming back, more first quarter action in a moment. It's Seelens Grove 6, Shamokin nothing on WGRC.
proud sponsor of WGRC is J.R. Judd Violins. J.R. Judd has been specializing in the restoration, repair, and sales of fine-stringed instruments and their bows since 1989. Located at 1964 Lycoming Creek Road in Williamsport, J.R. Judd Violins carries a complete line of instruments and accessories for string players of all ages and proficiencies. From Psalm 150, praise him with the strings and the flute. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. J.R. Judd Violins, on the web at jrjuddviolins.com or by phone at 321-8070.
Don, TJ, and Chris in the first. It's Loyal Sox 7 and Mifflinburg nothing, and Southern Columbia out in front of Jersey Shore 7-0 in the first. Now back to you.
All right, thanks, John. Here our score at Sealands Grove 6, Shamokin nothing. 7:31 to go first quarter. Coming up under center for Shamokin. First down and 10 from their 26-yard line. Grimes hands off, and it's going to be maybe a yard as Max Madden has the carry. Madden last week against Jersey Shore, and the Bulldogs dug in and didn't really allow much of anything on the ground for Shamokin. Just 16 yards on 18 carries a week ago, but a yard on that carry. Second down and 9 coming up for Shamokin.
You know, something that I've noticed that was pointed out in college and the pros, and Shamokin's doing it here, is, you know, they keep running Grimes to the sideline to get the plays, and you just kind of wonder how much that weighs on him going throughout the game.
Well, he's got his play now. He's under center, pro set, two in the backfield, one each side, split out. Shamokin's working right to left. Throw, caught, Madden at the 34, 35, steps out of bounds, and it looks like he's going to have enough for a first down. They'll place it right about the 37-yard line, and that, in fact, is the first down of the night.
And that, I mean, right there, just play action pass. And that's what Shamokin's trying to do. You know, they're bringing these power formations out now, what we would call an Aztec, two fullbacks, one tailback, I formation, pound the football, and then boom, they hit him with a play action and a nice catch in by Madden there, and a good first down.
Mosser, a good athlete. Three touchdowns a couple weeks ago against Lewisburg, and last week we saw an electrifying pick six when he was on defense. There, it's a reception to give Shamokin a first down. First and 10, throw, caught by Shikitano on far side. He loses the football. Does he get it back? I think so, right as he's heading to the Sealands Grove Seals sideline. It's going to be a loss of a few here for Shamokin. In fact, looks like about 3, maybe 4 yard loss for Shamokin. It's going to be second down and long coming up.
What a great play by Josh Nyland. I mean, coming up on that little bubble screen and making a play and popping that football out. And, you know, kudos to the Shamokin player for getting back on it, because that would have been another big turnover by the Shamokin Indians.
It's a loss of 4 officially. Ball placed just shy of the 34-yard line. Shamokin looking at a second down and 14. Grimes under center. Shikitano is to the right side, and Sealands Grove just coming right across the line, maybe trying to anticipate the count there, as Nate Schoen found himself basically almost through the line and in the backfield before the snap. So,
and that's something that you mentioned, Chris, you know, earlier in the first quarter here.
Yeah, just trying to time it up too early, and it was just one time too early that they finally got bit on it, so.
Second down and 9 now for Shamokin, as they'll advance that ball just shy of the 39-yard line. Shamokin wearing the purple with white trim, working it right to left. Sealands Grove in their white uniforms. Grimes under center, puts Shikitano on motion right to left. Grimes going to roll, looks downfield, throws, and that one is tipped, I believe, was trying to find Shikitano right about the 46-yard line. Instead, it's going to fall incomplete. It's going to be third down and 9.
I think that was not just tipped by a player, but also I think tipped by the wind there, Don. The wind, you can tell us a little bit better, Chris, but it looks like it's picking up.
Oh, yeah, about the time he threw it, there was a big gust of wind that went through, so... No, I think that just kind of helped Sealands Grove a little bit more.
So third down and 9 now for Shamokin. See if they try something again through the air. See if that gust of wind, the flags are looking a little bit more calm at the moment. One receiver each side. Mosser here on the near side. Back to throw. That's where they go. Mosser is going to bounce to him. Trying a quick out here to the near hash, and it's going to bounce to Mosser, incomplete. So fourth down coming up, Shamokin forced to punt.
If that ball gets to Mosser, the corner over here for Sealands Grove, he was playing about at least 7-8 yards off of him. So Mosser might have been able to make a move at that point, you know, maybe get a first down, but the ball just never made it to him.
Mosser, an athletic and a big target here on the outside, 6'2". But he's got some speed and definitely capable of the big play. Set to punt is Grimes, standing on his own 28. Gets this off, an end-over-end line drive kick. It's going to take a Shamokin roll, and it rolls and rolls inside the 20, and it's going to spin down to about the 16-yard line. So Sealands Grove definitely by far going to face their most challenging field position of the night. Their first drive starting on the 46. The second drive, they were actually on the Shamokin 6-yard line. That set up a touchdown. But here, TJ, they'll be back on their own 16, so Shamokin's defense perhaps looking to try and see if they can capitalize on this and pick up the offense.
Yeah, I mean, here now it's field position. Okay, get a good punt, get a good roll. Now defensively you need to have a three and out. Sealands Grove, on the other hand, try and get their first down out of the game.
Trips far side, one receiver near side. There's one in the backfield. It's Hollenbach with Shock. Hollenbach gets the carry, and he's going to get swallowed up right away. In fact, that's going to be a loss of a couple yards here for the Seals. Hollenbach, one of the speed guys. He's a senior, and coach likes the way he gets to the edge, but that time just trying to come up the middle and nothing doing.
Yeah, it's a zone read for the running back. Danny Shock's not going to pull that football. He's directly handing it off, and then from there the running back needs to read the zone and find the hole and make a cut. But, man, that penetration by Shamokin that time.
Shamokin's defense had a pretty good effort a week ago in that loss to Jersey Shore, and here tonight, trying to get a good start. Second and 12 now for the Seals. Shock back to throw. Fires, and it's going to be a little overthrown. Trying to find the senior, Josh Nyland. Led him a little too far. So the third down scenario now for Sealands Grove. A third down and 12 with 4:54 to play here in this first quarter.
And both of these offenses are getting themselves in the same predicament. Third and long, third and long, third and long. Obviously passing down, you would think, defensively. So now you don't have to load the box as much. You can have a one or two more guys back deep.
Shock with a 51% completion percentage coming into tonight's game. Back to throw, going deep, looking, has an open receiver, and just overthrows Wyatt Metzger, the tight end. Had him by a step. He was being covered by Max Madden, but just led a little bit too far. Tough over-the-shoulder opportunity there.
And that's the matchup that you want. They were playing man there, and Metzger had him beat, just couldn't get the ball in his hands.
So Shamokin's defense does its job, forces a three and out, and that could give the Indians good field position. And this time you can tell Wolfgang Pearson is not going to let this ball go over his head again. He's back deep on his own 39-yard line. Again, that wind is blowing definitely in that direction, so this will be a wind-aided punt.
Looks like a costly penalty here for Sealands Grove.
Although they're pointing that it could go against Shamokin, but it is against Shamokin. 5-yard penalty. So the 5-yard penalty will help with field position, but it's still going to be fourth and seven yards to go, and this will put the ball being snapped from about the 20-yard line. Wyatt Metzger going to be punting from about the 10. Takes the snap, and he gets off his kick. Pretty good kick, and it's going to be fielded and dropped and then picked up at the 36-yard line as Pearson started to come up on it. And then he kind of realized he had to catch it over his shoulder a little bit and had trouble bringing it in, TJ, and controlling it.
Well, I think it's that wind again. It's redirecting the football.
Yeah.
So it's hard, on a night like this to really judge where the ball is going to land. And luckily, he at least caught the ball and didn't let it roll down to the 5-yard line.
Yeah, I was going to say it kind of hung up there and kind of wobbled a little bit. And you could just tell that it wasn't going to land where he thought it was.
So now right now Shamokin's maybe thinking 4 minutes and 39 seconds till they can get this field position switched and go the other way. Right now Shamokin trying to go into the wind, right to left. Two receivers far side, I formation. Grimes coming up under center. And it's going to be a penalty of a false start against Shamokin as moving up front might have been Rotermel.
This is what the story was last week. Coach Hynoski talked about it's the mental mistakes, and I just saw the quarterback, Nate Grimes. He said to his guys, he's pointing his head. He said, guys, use your head. We cannot be doing this out here.
So it is now on the 31-yard line, first and 15 coming up for Shamokin, and you want those seniors to take control. It's senior night after all here, and Shamokin looking to try and bounce back into the win column tonight. Right now they trail Sealands Grove 6-0. I formation, that same formation with two receivers to the far side. Pitch is high. Nearly sailed over the head of Max Madden. Max gets it, but it's going to be another loss here on the play. back to the 25-yard line. So here the Shamokin Indians in reverse. That's a loss of another six.
And that was Kissinger, I mean, playing on the edge there in that 3-5 defense, keeping outside contained, and he just laid the boom.
So clock ticking at 4:11 to play in this first quarter. You're listening to the High School Football Game of the Week on WGRC in Shamokin. Right now, this drive started on their 36. Right now they have it on their 25. Second down and 23 coming up for the Indians. Pro set. Now they split the receivers. Chicatano to the far side. Mosser to the near side. Back to throw. Little hitch and go. Grimes buying some time. Going deep. Lays it out. A jump ball. And Madden has to turn in, or Mosser turns into a defender trying to tip it down. Do have a penalty flag down in the backfield where the quarterback was hit.
Looked like a late hit there on the quarterback, and he's down. That was a pretty nasty hit.
Grimes right now on all fours as he's still kind of bent over, hands on the turf.
You worry about a possible concussion here when he's down and looking like he's ill.
Yeah, because he's not specifically grabbing like an ankle or a knee or anything like that. He's just on all fours right now.
Let's hope it's a issue of maybe just getting his wind back here. Well, that was a definite jump ball scenario. He laid it out for Mosser, but the numbers were not in Shamokin's favor there, TJ. There was at least three white shirts that probably had even a better shot at it than Mosser, but he did what you would want your wide receiver to do in that scenario.
You want to be a defensive back at that time. You know, the ball's up in the air. If you can't make a play on it, you know, and get it at what we say is the highest point, you want to attack the football at the highest point. If you can't be the one to be there for that, you got to be the defensive back. And you just got to get your hand in there and try and swat it away.
Well, this penalty puts the ball all the way up to the 40-yard line. It also makes it a first down scenario, an automatic first down with that personal foul call. So big yardage change here, but the big concern right now is the fact Nate Grimes is still being attended to. He is right now on his knees at the 15-yard line, right where he took that hit.
Shamo can go ahead and warm up their backup quarterback here. Wait and see what's going to be the outcome.
Had a chance to see their quarterback a week ago, and this would be Brett Nye. He's a freshman. Got a little bit of playing time in a week ago, but this is not the scenario that Coach Henry Hynoski wants to have in a game like this. He wants to have Grimes on the field. And Grimes up on his feet, and he is slowly walking to the sideline. Good thing is, as you mentioned, TJ, you know, the not grabbing anything. Just definitely a little slow getting around. We'll trust it's not serious, and hopefully see an opportunity for him to have, if it's safe, some more action coming up here later on tonight. So here it is now going to be it's going to be a second down and six. So they going to have the ball in the 40-yard line. Sealins or Shamokin looking at a second down and six. So Brett Nye coming in under center. See how the freshman does, taking over the reins here at quarterback. Two in the backfield. This pro set. Quick throw. Madden Mosser, that is, catches it, going out of bounds. So interesting. You bring your freshman quarterback in and confidence go.
Four-yard hitch. And
to the air right away. Yep. But a conservative play call, though, too, but still in the air.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was surprising that they came out and letting the freshman Nye warm that arm up even more with a throw right off the bat.
So it's now going to be third down, that is, and 1 yard. And Nye getting the play call here.
You know, and if you're Shamokin, you know, your senior leadership, they've got to step up. They got to say, hey, you know, that they got to protect the quarterback out there. Really got to step up and work on those blocks.
And Grimes is staying on his feet. He's talking with personnel on the sideline here. But
timeout, Shamokin area.
Timeout called here on this third down and one. Let's take a 30-second break as well. We'll come back with this third and one in a moment. It's Sealands Grove 6, Shamokin nothing on the High School Football Game of the Week on WGRC.
Coles Transmissions of Shamokin Dam. Mike Bordner, owner, is sponsoring in part tonight's WGRC High School Football Game of the Week. Since 1986, Coles Transmissions has provided service and repair for automatic and manual transmissions for domestic and most foreign automobiles and light trucks. Open Monday to Friday, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Located near the intersection of Routes 11 and 15. Coles Transmissions of Shamokin Dam at 743-1115.
Get fired up. The Regional High School Football Game of the Week on WGRC.
A big third and one coming up for Shamokin from their own 45-yard line, trailing Sealands Grove 6-0. Been a defensive battle here both ways. Sealands Grove's touchdown came on a very short field, a 6-yard touchdown drive. Here's third and one for Shamokin, and the Seals jump off sides up front. I didn't see any Shamokin movement, and I believe that was shown, and that's actually the second time he's jumped off sides here.
And the other thing, too, is he's playing nose tackle. He's right over the football. I mean, you got to watch that football. That's just a mental mistake right there. And he got up. He was shaking his head. He knew right away that he was going to be called for it.
Actually, a new position for Nate Schoen, being moved up to the line to nose guard this year. Before played linebacker, but they like the way he's played up there. But just getting too early a jump. Here's a handoff to Max Madden, right side, able to push forward for a few yards to the Sealands Grove 47-yard line. That's going to be a gain of three.
It's interesting watching Shamokin. I mean, their first series, they came out in shotgun. Since then, they've been in these power formations, and this just looks like old Shamokin football. You know, get two, three running backs in the backfield, have a guard pull like they did there off the right side, and just try and smash mouth the football.
3:06. Showing on the clock to go in this first quarter. Second down and 7 from the Sealands Grove 47. Shamokin handoff once again. It's going to be Madden now left side inside the 45 to the 44. Another gain of 3.
It's a nice little drive that Shamokin has going here. It's not flashy. It's not, you know, big plays down the field, but it's getting the job done. That's what you want. You want to be getting 3-4 yards every play to put yourself in position to get that first down and keep the chains moving.
And, TJ, the other thing I'm noticing is that their line is getting a lot better push against the Sealands Grove defenders, you know, which is allowing the backs more room to pick and choose their holes. Mm-hmm.
And, again, Brett and I in at quarterback in for the injured Nate Grimes. So, Brett Nye going to be under center for this play. Tight end here on the near side, and it's going to be at Shikitano split out to the right. I formation, handoff, fakes. Nye back to throw, going deep, and he's going to overthrow Mosser, trying to find him down the field. Single coverage out there along with Teague Hoover, talented sophomore safety. So fourth down and 4 coming up. Maybe a little surprise they went on the deep ball there.
I mean, play action, trying to get Sealands Grove to bite. Very good defensive discipline by the safety there not to get beat deep. Despite the ball being overthrown, that was a really nice pass. I mean, he overthrew him by 2 to 3 yards, but that was a nice tight spiral.
So 4 yards needed here, but this game, being such a defensive struggle, so important to try and pin at Sealands Grove back deep. So Seals, out six. To punt, Brett Floor, and seven. It's going to be a different punter because Grimes normally would be kicking, and here is the snap. The kick as Bryson James angles it well, hits at the 15 to the 14, 13, and it's going to die right about there, and that is where Sealands Grove will have it. So the punt scenario working out well there. So James able to kick it well, and again, Sealands Grove going to have to find a way to move the football. The one moment they had positive yardage, they picked a good drive to do it when they had it on the 6-yard line of Shamokin. It led to their 6-0 lead so far.
Mm-hmm. And they just need to get a couple plays put together. You know, you got to take it one play at a time. All right, let's chunk out a little bit of yardage here, okay, and not get too antsy. So it'll be interesting to see what kind of push this offensive line gets, because Shamokin's defensive line is really, really penetrating.
So that Shamokin drive from a moment ago stalled on the Sealands Grove 44. Here's a handoff for the Seals across the line of scrimmage to maybe about the 14-yard line, maybe a gain of 1 here. So second down and 9 coming up for the Seals. That time a carry for Nate Schoen.
And once again, just one, Shamokin's defensive line is hitting their gaps hard, and they're staying disciplined. They're not over-penetrating either. I mean, they're getting good penetration, but you don't want to flow too far into the backfield, or you'll miss the play completely.
So here comes Sealands Grove now, 1:21 on the clock in this first quarter. Sealands Grove, a 6-0 lead, low snap. Shock goes down to get it, hands it off, and Schoen is going to be swallowed up in the backfield inside the 10. And that time, Danny Shock, fortunate, I mean, it's a small thing. It won't show up in a box score tomorrow, but just grabbing that low snap at his feet, preventing a turnover, was important.
Yeah, and like I said, I mean, even to get that handoff off, I mean, this Shamokin defensive line, I know I just said it 2 or 3 times in a row now, but the penetration they're getting, they're blowing this Sealands Grove offensive line off the ball.
Yeah, credit to number 58 there for Shemokin. I mean, he just was able to stand that lineman straight up, drive him back, and still get the tackle.
Spreading it out with four receivers. Schoen is in the backfield to the right of Schock, who's in the shotgun. Schock back to throw, looking downfield, airing it out near sideline, and it's going to be caught on the near sideline. Well thrown ball. Brett Four able to grab it and has it at the 48-yard line. That is a first down, Sealands Grove.
Now, I know I just talked about Nye from Shemokin, the freshman, with a nice tight spiral. That throw by Danny Schock, you can tell the difference between his freshman year and his sophomore year in his throws and his techniques and how he gets the ball downfield. I mean, that was beautiful placement, only where the receiver could get it, right along the sideline. I mean, you can't see it any better than that.
Four had about a yard separation on the defender, did a good job looking it in over his shoulder, and Schock hit him in stride. Now shotgun, and it's going to be a handoff, and stumbling right away is Schoen. He goes down at the 46-yard line. That's a loss of two.
Well, I think even with him tripping Micah Miller for Shemokin, he's been doing a phenomenal job off the edge. He was going to be right there on Schoen anyways. I mean, they just don't have an answer for this defensive line right now.
So we've hit the end of the first quarter. We'll take a break here. Our score going into the second quarter, it's Sealands Grove 6, Shemokin nothing on the High School Football Game of the Week on WGRC.
Jesus said in John 4:14, whoever drinks the water I give him will never thirst. Indeed, it will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life. This encouragement is brought to you by Melcott Radiator, repairing and rebuilding radiators for any size, make, and model, including antique cars, tractors, and heavy equipment. They also service diesel fuel tanks, oil coolers, heater cores, AC condensers, and Recore Charge air coolers. Our thanks to Melcott Radiator on the Old Trail in Sealands Grove at 374-2575.
Don, TJ, and Chris in the second. It's Warrior Run 14 and Bloomsburg 7, Mount Carmel 27, and Hughesville nothing, still in the first in that one. It's Nativity BVM 7 and Midwest nothing in the first. In the second, Montoursville 22 and Danville nothing. Muncie 7, Montgomery nothing in the second. And Columbia Montour Votech and Montrose are scoreless after one. Now back to you.
Thank you very much.
Thanks, John. Well, we've reached the second quarter here at Shemokin, and it is Sealands Grove with a 6-0 lead. And Sealands Grove now with the football on their own 46-yard line, facing a second down and 12. Schock in the shotgun, trips near side. It's going to be a handoff. Schoen loses the football. It hits the turf, and Shemokin has it on their 49.
Well, once again, the penetration, and Chris, I mean, you saw it better than us. I don't know if he had a good handle on it or not, but that penetration once again.
I didn't really get a good handle on it, but credit to Shemokin. I mean, they were there, and he got his hand on it, stripped it out, and they were able to recover, which is exactly what they need. They need to get some points here.
So, I mean, great field position.
Absolutely.
So now it's one of those things. Now the Sealands Grove defense, how do you respond? You know, you have a turnover defensively. You got to either have a three and out or create a turnover of your own to get that ball back into the offense.
And if you're Shemokin, are you going to try to stretch it a little bit here instead of just trying to go that power?
So the ball's at midfield here for Shemokin. I formation, one receiver near side. Grimes back on the field, throws and overthrows his target, trying to find
number
Bryson
11,
James. That is going to be incomplete. Good to see Nate Grimes back out and running the offense here for the Indians.
Chris, did you hear the offensive play call there? I mean, man, you were spot on there.
I don't know. Even a blind squirrel finds an acorn
sometimes.
Well,
he finds his way into the huddle somehow. I'd say into the huddle, but I guess you'd actually have to get on the sideline here to get the play. But
that'll get me kicked out down here.
That's very true. After they've already treated you to meatballs and pierogies here in the press box,
absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely. It's the Shemokin way.
Absolutely. Great hospitality, as always, here in Shemokin territory. Midfield, handoff. Grimes going to give it to Madden. Madden's got room left side, 45, 40. Bounces it to the far sideline, and he's out at the 35-yard line. So that is going to be a first down, Shemokin.
Boy, the way that that guard, number 74 for Shemokin, I want to try and find his name here, Andrew Nelson. He pulled, he sealed that edge, and you saw Madden. He just put his hand on the back of his shoulder pads, held on to him, and followed him around the edge. Great play.
First down and 10 for Shemokin, looking to try and take advantage of a fumble that set them up at midfield. They now have it on the Sealands Grove 35. Tight formation here with two in the backfield from the eye. Madden carries, gets past a few at the line of scrimmage, and now to the 31-yard line, navigates his way forward for four.
Just power football. Shemokin's coming out, pulling some guards. On that one, they pulled the tackle, number 78, Jonathan Washuda, and he just led up through the hole. And right there you saw Madden, he was a patient runner. You know, he didn't try and hit the hole too fast, waited for the hole to open up, and then he was able to gain four or five on the play.
So now the ball on the 31-yard line, second down and six here for Shemokin. Pro set. Grimes nearly losing the snap. Now he recovers, throws it to Mosser, and Mosser's going to have a first down. And, you know, it's going to count as a six-yard pass, but TJ, you know, that nearly was a quarterback fumble on the exchange. He did a good job bringing in the football and controlling it.
I mean, I was wondering, you know, was the center going to step back, step on his foot? Because he was still trying to handle that, but he got it out there to Madden. And, you know, they keep running these four-yard hitches to Madden on the outside because Sealands Grove, they're still playing 7, 8, 9 yards off of the receivers.
So Joe Mosser with a couple of big catches here. They're actually going to place him a yard shy of the first down. So they're going to place it on the 26-yard line. It will be third down and one. So a big third down scenario. Mosser is right now split out near side. We have penalty flags down. Check and see if there was movement or maybe someone offsides.
It'll be interesting.
Officials coming over, and they're going to say it is going to be a false start against Shemokin. So a third and one turns into a third and six. So, you know, right back where the ball was right before that pass completion to Mosser.
This is what, you know, both coaches, Coach Hicks and Coach Hynoski, talk about, those mental mistakes, keeping focused, not putting yourself in a position. You're third and one. Now you're back to third and five, third and a long five. And now you're probably looking at a passing down as opposed to a QB sneak or another ISO or a power or whatever else you wanted to pull out.
Ball on the 31-yard line. I formation for Shemokin. One receiver, far side, handoff, and it's going to be inside the 30 to about the ball came out at the end, I think.
Yep.
Sealands Grove has it. At least they say they have it, but the officials are going to mark them down. It was Bryson James, I believe, with the carry at the 28-yard line. And, you know, this would be a moment you'd expect four down territory since it's about a fourth and three.
Let's call it fourth and three for Shemokin area.
You know, Shemokin got lucky there, but again, it's the same mistakes. I mean, at week seven here, you just cannot be affording to make these mistakes. They're going to add up.
So now fourth and three. Let's see what the Indians go to. 9:26 showing on the clock in this first half.
And
pro set.
Nyland's playing up on
motion here. This is some. Sealands Grove came across. The question
Sealands
is whether
Grove's
they were drawn.
Shemokin's pointing at Sealands Grove. So.
Yeah. I have a feeling this one's backing up against the Indians is my guess. Looked like everybody moved. And it is going to be a legal procedure call against Shemokin. So fourth and three. Now, TJ, you know, you've got 8 yards to go. Do you go ahead and try and pooch punt this one and let your defense continue to play well as it has?
Well, it'll be interesting to see what they do here. I mean, the way my defense is playing, I'd rather pin them deep, not give them great field position. That would be my call. But
And Grimes is your punter. He's also the quarterback, so we'll see. As you said, fourth down and eight. Although he's coming up under center, so not likely punting here. There's the snap. Throw in, and it's almost intercepted. It's going to fall incomplete as getting his hands on it was Ryan Ament, the junior. There's a player coming in with 54 tackles on the season, leading his team in that category. Nearly had a pick there, but nonetheless, it is going to be Sealands Grove Seals football on the 33.
It was a great play call by Shemokin, so I'm not sure who their offensive coordinator is and who's calling the plays. The tight end had the seam. The linebackers did not play underneath that. It was just a low throw by Grimes to where Ament was able to get his hand on the football. Great play by Ament.
Well, Shemokin really stacking it up. Nobody's back deep, and there's four receivers. Ball hits the turf on the handoff, and does Shemokin have it back?
They do.
Right about the 30-yard line of Sealands Grove, and it's going to be Shemokin football. So yet another fumble, back-to-back series. Sealands Grove puts it on the turf. Earlier, Shemokin had a fumble, so Three fumbles.
Now you can feel this Shamokin crowd. They're starting to get into it now.
Yeah, they are getting restless for sure.
Shamokin's fumble earlier in that first quarter set up a Seelensgrove score. This time Seelensgrove puts it on the turf, and the Indians will have it on the Seelensgrove 30-yard line. First down and 10. 8:45 to go in this first half. Lots of time. Pro set. Grimes coming up under center. Mosser split out near side. Or actually, Shikitano looking for him. Going to Shikitano. A little hand fighting down there, and the ball out of bounds. It's going to fall incomplete. Both guys kind of equally pushing off a little bit, heading to the sideline.
That ball just didn't look good coming out of Grimes' hands. I mean, it wobbled pretty much like a duck. I don't think he felt comfortable about it when he let it go.
Well, now Grimes and Shamokin has the wind at their back, so some of the balls that were kind of going into the wind and not pushing real well now kind of come in the opposite direction.
Well, the other problem you have, too, is when you're playing power football like this and you only have one receiver, it's easy for the corner and then the safety to come over top and help on that. I mean, it was double covered.
This time it's going to be Mosser split out, and it's going to be a handoff to Madden, and Madden maybe loses a yard trying that left side and pretty much dropped initially. Third down and 11.
TJ, if you're Shamokin, you really can't afford for these opportunities to be squandered.
No, and, you know, we heard Coach Hicks talk about last week how they had great field position, and Shamokin now has had great field position on two drives, and they haven't been able to capitalize yet. So we'll see what they do here on third and long.
Especially given the fact that Seelensgrove gets the ball coming out in the second half. Mm-hmm.
So now third down and 11 for Shamokin from the 31-yard line. Throwing, across the middle, and almost caught, almost picked as well, trying to get that ball in a very tight window. And fortunate it wasn't picked off, trying to find Ian Paul, the tight end. Would have been close to a first down. Paul had his hand on it, but so did a member of the Seelensgrove Seals defense.
Well, that was that same play call that they called on the last series on fourth down, where Ahmet made the play on it. But this time it was well covered. The linebackers dropped underneath it, and it was well executed by the Seelensgrove defense.
Shamokin, it looks like their receivers, they're wanting some interference calls, saying that they're getting hooked early, so it's something to keep an eye on.
Pro set, one receiver each side. Grimes rolls to his right, looks, throws, and it's off Mosser's hand, and it falls incomplete. Tight coverage there by Josh Nyland.
That was textbook coverage. I mean, hand on the hip pocket of the receiver, ball comes out, receiver turns to look for the football, and Josh Nyland attacks the football. I mean, that was great coverage by Josh Nyland.
So the Shamokin Indians unable to capitalize on the good field position. They had it on the Seelensgrove 30-yard line. Mosser had his hand on that pass throw. It was a good throw by Grimes, but as you just said, textbook coverage there by the Seals. So first and 10, Seelensgrove on their own 32-yard line. Shock hands it off, wrapped up quickly, maybe a yard on the carry. Dean Hollenbach just straight ahead for one. Second down and 9 coming up for Seelensgrove.
So great play by Ian Paul coming off the edge from his linebacker position. Held on, luckily, because if he didn't hold on, that might have been a 6, 7, 8, maybe even a 9-yard gain. But he held on to that ankle, and some other Shamokin defenders came in to take him down.
It's a four-receiver set, three of them here near side. Seelensgrove working right to left. Shock, pressured, scrambles, moves forward. He's got yardage, crossed the 35. He's got a blocker to the 40, 45-yard line, and out of bounds at the 48. So a good scramble there for Shock, gaining 20 yards, and it's going to be a Seelensgrove first down. They will have it on their own 48-yard line.
And that's something different there, you know, seeing Danny play last year as a freshman, where he would have been really throttled, not keeping his eyes downfield. He saw a couple blocks, made a nice move, and got an extra 5 yards off of an extra block that he got down the field by one of the wide receivers. So great play by Danny.
Just the second first down of the night for Seelensgrove. One, a shock pass, that time a shock run. Here's a handoff to Hollenbach, and that's going to be another first down as he's able to get that right side, get to the 40-yard line, 41 make it, and that is going to be a first down. So now suddenly the Seals moving on the ground here at the 41 of Shamokin, first down and 10.
Seelensgrove has a nice mix going on right now. between their run and pass plays. Their first series, it was three straight passes. Sometimes you got to run the ball to open up the pass, so it's good to see that they have a good mix.
Four receivers, two each side. Shock from the shotgun. Shock's going to keep it himself straight up the middle inside the 40. Stiff arm, 35. He's to the 30-yard line. Takes on a defender and rumbles to about the 25-yard line, and it's going to be yet another Sealands Grove first down.
Well, what I said about, you know, mixing in the run, I didn't expect the quarterback to be running the ball, you know, doing a majority of the legwork, but it's great to see Danny using his legs too. I mean, he's an athlete, and it's going to be interesting to see him develop even more this year and as he has two more years left of high school football.
You know, it may not have the same kind of speed as some other running quarterbacks that we've seen, but his strides, he covers some ground pretty quick.
He's
learning how to use that stiff arm as well. So here it is now, first down and 10 with Sealands Grove on the Shamokin 25-yard line. Handoff is going to be Hollenbach. Hollenbach starts left, now goes right. Gets to the 20, and he's going to be dropped there by three defenders, including
on the tackle was Micah Miller.
That's just zone blocking by the Sealands Grove offensive line, and then credit to Hollenbach for making those reads. That's his job. Be patient, find where the hole is, and then make that cut and hit it.
After the 5-yard gain, it's going to be second down and 5 coming up for the Seals. Ball placed on the Shamokin 20-yard line, and it looks like we are going to have a timeout on the field. With 5:44 to go in the first half, we'll take a timeout as well.
Timeout.
It's Sealands Grove 6, Shamokin timeout, nothing Shamokin on the high school football game of the week on WGRC.
Serving Columbia County and all of Central Pennsylvania is Millville HPS, providing solar power solutions for both business and residential, including the design and installation of solar PV systems for generating electricity. They also offer solar hot water systems to heat water for showers, pools, or to supplement home heating. On the web at MillvilleHPS.com. Their telephone number is 570-336-2617. Proudly supporting programming on WGRC.
Don, TJ, and Chris in the second. It's Wellsboro 26 and Milton nothing. And South Williamsport leading Central Columbia 7-0 in the second. Now back to you.
Southern Columbia 4.
Thanks, John. And here our score at Sealands Grove 6, Shamokin nothing. 5:44 to go in this first half. And Shamokin trying to keep this one-score game as Sealands Grove right now with the ball on the 20-yard line of the Indians facing a second down and 4. By the way, coming up at the half, special featured interview. We're going to be talking with author Pat Williams. He's also the Senior Vice President of Basketball Operations for the Orlando Magic, getting close to basketball season and really one of the founders of that organization. Well, it is going to be linemen moving early, and likely this one may go against the Seals.
It's like he motioned for false start against the Seals.
Bad ball.
And indeed, that is going to be the call. So what was a second and 4 will turn into a second down and 9. And our halftime interview, I mentioned Pat Williams. He's authored over 100 books. And, TJ, when you played, and you don't need to give names right now, but guys that were good character guys, makes a difference on a team in a locker room, doesn't it?
There's one specifically, Josh Brocious, one of my best friends. He was a character guy. He was one of those guys that people looked up to.
Back to throw. Shock going to the end zone. Tipped away at the last second. Big defense in the secondary. Nicely done for Shamokin. Well thrown pass, but able to knock it away was Zulkowski for Shamokin. It's going to be third down and long. And you mentioned a character guy, and not talking about a guy who's like a character, but a guy who's got good character, a leader, and that's what we're going to be focused on, a book called Character Counts. Pat Williams wrote it, and he'll share a little bit of a sports perspective, guys that were on the Orlando Magic that were good character guys, and trying to find those kind of guys for your organization. So we'll hear about that connection of the subject of character in sports coming up with Pat Williams at the half. Shotgun. Shock takes it. Now screen pass overthrows Hollenbach out of the backfield. And Hollenbach had a little bit of room to work with if that one's a catchable ball, but it's incomplete.
He did, and he would have only had one guy to shake maybe that would have, you know, prevented him from having a touchdown on that play.
Yeah, you give Hollenbach the ball in open field. He's got a lot of speed, so a dangerous weapon out there. But it's going to be fourth down and 10 now for Sealands Grove. Ball on the Shamokin 25-yard line. And Sealands Grove now going to call a timeout. Let's take a 30-second break. Back with more in a moment. It's senior night at Shamokin, but right now it's Sealands Grove with a 6-0 lead on WGRC's high school football game of the week.
Serving Snyder County and much of central Pennsylvania is the Shade Mountain Pharmacy, located along Route 35 just west of Mount Pleasant Mills in the lower level of the Family Practice Center. Pharmacist Terry Trutt and his staff provide answers about prescription medications while also stocking remedies for seasonal and general ailments. Shade Mountain Pharmacy at 570-539-2050, a supporter of WGRC.
High school football action on WGRC.
Well, here tonight, it's been a lot of defense, but the offense is starting to come alive a little bit, and we're going to see if we can have a field goal opportunity. This one would be from 42 yards. Let's see how the leg goes for Kyle Rule. Again, a big leg. He's 2 of 3 on field goal attempts, although this would be his longest to this point, like a 26-yarder. Let's see how he does from 42. A little high on the snap. The hold down, the kick is up, but it's going to be short. It's going to hit about halfway through the end zone. So missed field goal attempt there, but an opportunity for Kyle Rule to see what kind of distance he's got on that junior leg.
You know, credit to Shamokin's defense there. I mean, Sealands Grove was driving. Looked like they were going to score there. Shamokin was able to step up with their defense, not give away any more points now. Let's see if they can rebound here and get some points of their own.
So Shamokin trailing 6-0, 5:27 to go in the second quarter. Shamokin will have the ball on their 20-yard line, first down and 10. Tight formation. Mosser is going to be the receiver. He's to the split out far side. Handoff, Madden. Madden's got some room. 30, sidesteps a defender, gets past the 30-yard line. That's going to be a Shamokin first down to the 31.
That pull there by, boy, I'm probably going to butcher this last name, Corey Maraca. He came off the edge, hit that that outside linebacker, which created that big open hole there for Madden.
So a big first down carry. Sets the ball up now on the 31-yard line. First down and 10 for Shamokin, looking to try and make something happen here with 5 minutes to go in the first half. So far, silenced offensively. I formation, Madden gets the handoff, and this is going to be straight ahead. Maybe a gain of a yard to about the 32, maybe close to the 33. It's going to be second down. We'll say second down and 8.
Just an inside give, you know, trying to incorporate some inside gives with that outside running. That's what's really been working for Shamokin is those outside runs off tackle and even off of the ends and having those guards pull. Just trying to keep Sealands Grove honest.
Shamokin Indians coming up, second down and 8. Mosser near side being guarded by Nyland and coverage, but it's going to be a handoff. Madden to the left. He's got room around the corner. 40, 45-yard line. Good run for Max Madden, the sophomore running back. Getting some good yardage on that carry. It's going to be another first down. He's had more yardage on this drive than he had a really opportunity to run last week against Jersey Shore. So here's now Shamokin starting to get that ground game going. It's interesting, TJ, both offenses coming to life right about the same time.
It is, yeah. It's, you know, and the defenses are both playing well. And like you said, the offenses are at the same time are coming around. So, you know, I think we're in for a good ball game here, you know, through the rest of the second quarter and the second half, guys.
5 first downs for Shamokin, 2 of them on this drive. Right now on the 47-yard line, Shamokin first down and 10. 3:46 on the clock. Lots of time. I formation. Handoff again. Madden, midfield. He's got some room. He's got a blocker. 45, 40, gets the corner. 35, 30, and he's going to be brought down there. Penalty flag comes out late. Tackle was made by Vance Metzger. Let's see on the flag here.
Did you see what it was, Chris? Did you?
I did not. It came from behind me, so I'm not sure what they're going to call.
And it's going to be a block here, an illegal block against Shamokin. And Henry Hynoski protesting this call. It came out kind of late.
It came out very late, and I didn't see the block.
I don't know if it was hands to the face maybe with a...
I said block in the back.
Let's see here. They're going to be marching this off. It's from the spot of the foul, so it's still going to be good yardage for Shamokin. It's going to have the ball on the 40-yard line, so it's still going to be a first down.
That ISO off tackle, and they're having either that backside guard or that backside tackle each time. They're switching it up, pull, and leading the way for Madden. I mean, that's their bread and butter right now. That's what's really, really getting this offense cooking.
So now just that loss of yardage, it's going to be first and 10. Shamokin has it on the Sealands Grove 40-yard line. Trailing 6-0, Seals have that advantage thanks to a 6-yard drive that came after a fumble. Handoff hits the turf, goes forward, and I think Seals Grove has it. Ball got kicked forward. It was like the running back was through before Grimes could get him the football, and it hits the turf in Seals Grove. We've had now two fumbles, both lost each direction, and that one a costly one for Shamokin. Seals Grove opportunistically jumps on it. They have it at their 33.
You know, something happened there. Shamokin was not getting set, and Grimes was telling his center. He said, let's go, let's go. They had 3 seconds, and I think that whole thing just imploded before the ball even snapped.
So first and 10 now for Sealands Grove as they have a 6-0 lead. Costly fumbles both directions here now. Danny Schock in the shotgun, 4 receivers, 3 of them to the far side. Schock looks that way. Now he kind of dances back near side. He's going to keep it himself and heads out of bounds into the Shamokin bench right about the 37 or 38-yard line, and that is going to be a gain of about 5 for the Seals.
What Shamokin's doing is they're bringing their outside backers, and then on this side where Danny ran from it was Grimes. And in theory, it's a great concept to try and disrupt Danny in his throwing process, but they're not keeping the edge. They're giving away that edge, and Danny's taking advantage of it. He's saying, hey, you want to give me that edge? I'll use my legs all day, and I'll take the yards that I can get.
2:58 to go here in the first half. Schock from the shotgun, still 4 receivers. Instead, it's going to be a handoff. Hollenbach. Hollenbach's got room right side, gets that corner. 45 into the 48-yard line. It's a Sealands Grove first down.
Shamokin cannot afford to give up any big plays. And, you know, TJ, going back to your point, that's exactly what hurt Shamokin last week here against Jersey Shore. They just had a hard time containing that outside, and Jersey Shore was just gashing them for big play after big play.
First and 10 now, Sealands Grove on their own 48-yard line. 2:38, still plenty of time here in this first half. Sealands Grove, a 6-0 lead. 3 receivers, 2 of them near side. Nyland in motion now, left to right. Fakes the handoff to Nyland. Shot goes down. He's got
a
receiver off his hands trying to find
coverage.
Hollenbach on the far sideline. It goes off his hands, incomplete. But boy, did he have open field and a blazing a trail of speed down that far sideline.
That's rare to see Hollenbach miss that catch. And you know he definitely wants that one back. But great ball by Danny Schock. I mean, he put it, it was right in his hands, right in stride, didn't have to stop. I mean, he could have stopped if he really wanted to because it was blown coverage by Shamokin. But man, that's one that he'll definitely, he's either got to shake it off quick or he'll think about it for a play or two yet.
Second down and 10 now. Seals from their 48-yard line. 2 receivers each side. Schock from the shotgun. Takes the snap, drops back. He's got lots of time. Rolls, throws. It's going to be low, and it was intended that time for 4, but in a way that may have almost been a throwaway because 4 was tightly covered, so he threw it low where really no one was going to grab it. It'll be 3rd and 10.
Yep.
TJ, go and pick your brain here a bit.
Sure.
If you're Sealands Grove, you got 2:15 on the clock. Why are you passing it?
Wouldn't
you grind the clock and just keep it going?
I mean, this is their offense. This is what they run. And, you know, I know Coach Hicks, he likes to stick to what they do. And
you got confidence. He's going to be brought down right about the 44-yard line of Shamokin. And that was not a designed quarterback run, but it sure worked out for some positive yardage. They're actually going to place it pretty close to the 45. So this is going to be a fourth down in about 3.
Yeah, I mean,
clock is moving at 1:51.
Danny, again, using his legs, staying in bounds. You know, it's one of those things, just run the clock, punt it deep, and just trust in your defense to make some plays to get you into halftime.
So set to punt now, Metzger.
Shamokin has no timeouts to stop this clock.
Going to let it. It's at 5 seconds on the game clock. They take the snap. Metzger gets off the kick. It's a high one. And it's going to hit right about the 15-yard line. Takes a roll all the way deep. And it goes into the end zone. It looked like they were going to be able to down it on about the 1. But instead,
I think they are.
Maybe they did down it on the one. And it looks like they did. So I thought for sure it went in the end zone. Instead, Shamokin just going to look to try not to lose any more ground here because there's no ground to give up. They're on the one-yard line with 120 to get 122 to go here in this first half.
So, and this is, you know, a great opportunity for Sealands Grove, too. Try and pick up 2 points here right before halftime. And Shamokin, you just got to get a good push now.
So here we go. It's a minute 22 to go to halftime. Again, a reminder coming up, a discussion about character and sports. And you'll also see how it connects to the military academy at West Point. That's coming up at halftime with author Pat Williams, also senior vice president of the Orlando Magic. Here is going to be a handoff, and let's see. Does he get out of the end zone? I don't think so. I think Sealands Grove has the football, in fact. It's a touchdown. Seals.
Another fumble.
A fumble in the end zone, and it amounts to not a safety, but a touchdown for the Seals.
Well, once again, that Sealands Grove defense, I know they didn't score the first touchdown, but they caused that touchdown to happen on that first touchdown drive for Sealands Grove. And once again, it's the Sealands Grove defense scoring a touchdown that's putting the points up on the board.
I didn't see who actually came away with the football there. But
I think it was Schoen.
And indeed, you are correct, Nate Schoen. So that is his second score, once as a running back, now this time as a defensive player, getting the ball in the end zone. So the extra point attempt coming up for Rule. Missed the first one because the snap was not a good one. This time, snap a little high, but the placement is good for the hold, and the kick is up, and it is through. 1:15 to go in the first half. It's now Sealands Grove 13, Shamokin nothing on the High School Football Game of the Week on WGRC.
Underwriting WGRC is Steininger's Laundry and Dry Cleaning. For over 55 years, Steininger's has provided dry cleaning service for area residents, caring for all types of garments. Steininger's also cleans and preserves wedding gowns. Featuring drive-through service at 4 Commerce Avenue in Hummel's Wharf and 7th Street in Lewisburg. Also located at 107 West Pine Street in Sealands Grove. And featuring additional drop-off locations in Middleburg, Mifflinburg, Northumberland, and Sunbury. And at Lingle's Market in Watsontown. Steininger's Laundry and Dry Cleaning. Glad to support WGRC.
Listener supported.
WGRC Lewisburg.
WJRC Lewistown.
WCRG Williamsport.
WZRG Cultmont.
And WGRC.com.
Well, here tonight, week 7 of the high school football season, and Sealands Grove with big plays and another touchdown from Nate Schoen, this time on defense, recovering the fumble in the end zone. And Sealands Grove now a 13-0 lead over Shamokin, 1:15 to play in the first half. Thanks for joining us. I'm Don Kastelein. TJ Hertzog and Chris Miller at the field. John Callahan will have that halftime scoreboard coming up. He's producing tonight. Well, the kickoff goes out of bounds. And I did talk with Coach Derek Hicks a little bit about Kyle Rule as a soccer player. And he says sometimes they, by design, will do squib kicks, which they just did there. And he said normally he's very, very good on placing it. Although, TJ, that time, you know, they didn't want to give up a big return, but I don't think the placement was meant to go out of bounds.
Well, I mean, look at it this way. It's not going to end up being a touchdown on the kick return.
That's true.
So, and their defense has been playing well enough that even if the ball is at the 35, Shamokin doesn't have any timeouts. There's only a minute 15 on the scoreboard. So I'd feel confident, you know, having the ball at the 35 as opposed to kicking a deep one to him.
Yep, so that is exactly where Shamokin will have it. First down and 10 from their 35-yard line. And both coaches, I'm sure, are going to be preaching, keep your hands, both hands on the football. Shamokin losing 3 fumbles. Sealands Grove lost a pair of fumbles as well. So far, it's not translated any points on the scoreboard for Shamokin. 4 receivers, 2 of them at each side. It's going to be Brett Nye back in at quarterback. And this is going to be a completion to just past the 40-yard line. It's caught by Pearson. So Pearson to the 41. That's a gain of 6. So Grimes back out and Nye back in.
I'm surprised that Pearson didn't go out of bounds. I mean, he was right along the sideline. Could have got an extra 2 yards and ran out of bounds. Instead, he decides to cut it back in towards the middle of the field, and the clock's still ticking.
That's exactly what I was thinking, TJ.
50 seconds and counting here in this first half. Second down and 4. Shamokin, 4 receivers. Again, Nye from the shotgun. Hands it off. This is going to be Bryson James, and James just a gain of one to the 42-yard line, and that may communicate that he's going to take this one to halftime. They are hurrying, though, to try and get another play in here, but there's 22 seconds and counting here on the game clock.
At this point, you don't want to see a fumble happen. You know, you don't want to see an interception for a big return. So it'll be interesting to see if they try and go deep here.
Yeah, it would probably be Mosser would be likely, and they're looking that way. Nye throws. Nope, it's going to go for Shikitano, and it falls incomplete at midfield. So 6 seconds to go. And by the way, we'll be hearing from the coaches coming up, as I can tell from your crowd mic there that it's getting a little breezy out there, Chris.
Hey TJ, 54-degree difference down here from what you're used to in Texas. It's down to 47 degrees down here. And with the wind, I think it's feeling more like 40. So,
I'm glad I'm up in the booth.
TJ flew in today from Texas. You had a road trip with work, and we're glad to have you here tonight. But, yes, a little bit of a temperature shock for you here.
Yep.
Fourth down, and Shimokin will be punting. So it's going to be James set to punt. Gets off a good kick. It's going to hit on the 31-yard line. Takes a Sealands Grove bounce back to the 35, and that will lead the clock to zeros here. We are at halftime, and our halftime score, it is Sealands Grove 13, Shimokin nothing.
Coach
and
Hicks here.
Coach Derek Hicks of Sealands Grove, probably not going to be happy with a couple of fumbles, but he'll be happy his team up by two scores. Remember, a year ago, Shimokin knocked off the Seals 44-8. Not the case here tonight. Let's head down to the field. Chris Miller has Coach Derek Hicks.
Hey, Coach. Big slobber knocker of a first half here. Defenses are just battling it out here. You get that first touchdown early in the first quarter. Your defense comes up big. Doesn't get the safety, but gets one better. Gets a touchdown.
Yeah. I mean, those guys are playing really, really well. Gave us a short field to get the first score, and like you said, scored the second time. And, you know, offensively, we're making some plays, and we're just shooting ourselves in the foot and leaving some points on the board or on the field, I believe.
What would you like to see coming out in the second half?
You know, defense keep doing what we're doing, and offensively, finish a drive. You know, we're driving down the field, and then we have a penalty. We have a wide-open wheel route and just can't quite pull it in. So just some little things. Finish those drives, and let's get more points.
Hey, wish you well in the second half.
All right, thank you.
All right, that is head football coach Derek Hicks of Sealands Grove. At the end of our halftime feature, we'll check in with head football coach Henry Hynoski of the Shimokin Indians. It's halftime, senior night at Shimokin, but it's been Sealands Grove with the advantage, 13-0. We'll have the halftime feature with Pat Williams coming up in a moment. Also, your halftime scoreboard. We'll recap the action. Plenty to do. Halftime, week 7 of the high school football season, right here on the WGRC High School Football Game of the Week. Sealands Grove 13, Shimokin nothing.
Underwriting WGRC Friday Night Football is Better Business Solutions of Danville, providing sales and service of personal computers and the software that makes them function, offering support for both the home and business user. Better Business Solutions, located on the web at wearebbs.com. Their telephone number is 570-275-5844.
Vreeland's Harley-Davidson of Bloomsburg is supporting WGRC. Since 1990, they've been selling new and used bikes, parts, and accessories. Their on-site service department performs repairs, restorations, and customizations. In-house financing is available. Bike storage is offered from November through April. Located along Route 11 with hours Monday through Saturday, their phone number is 570-784-2453 on the web at vreelandsharley.com.
Building 429. You've been encouraged by their songs on the radio. Now see them live. The Fear No More Tour with Building 429. And I will fear no more. Friday, October 11th at Revival Tabernacle. Building 429 with very special guest Britt Nicole. The Fear No More Tour with Building 429. A night of music and worship with the songs you know and sing along to. Plus, Britt Nicole. Tickets are available right now online at premierproductions.com. The Fear No More Tour with Building 429 comes to Watsontown, October 11th at Revival Tabernacle. Your tickets are waiting now at premierproductions.com. Produced by Fill the Gap Concerts.
This concert event sponsored locally by WGRC, J-Meg Ministries, and Revival Tabernacle.
It's the high school football game of the week on WGRC, the halftime interview.
Tonight's halftime featured interview is with Pat Williams. He's the Senior Vice President of Basketball Operations with the Orlando Magic. Also, an author of more than 100 books, including Character Carved in Stone, the 12 Core Virtues of West Point that Build Leaders and Produce Success. Tonight we focus on character with this halftime interview. I begin by asking Pat about the importance of evaluating character when they look to attract players to play in Orlando.
Well, it is done. Talent will get you to a certain level, but to get to the ultimate level, that talent better have character. Let me put it to you this way. This is the best example I can give you. When Dick Vermeil arrived with the Eagles back in the 70s, coming from college, he struggled through that first year as the Eagles coach. At the end of the season, he said publicly, he said, "I'm never going to let this happen again." He said, "I spent most of my time coaching this year dealing with my problem guys." And he said, "As a result, I neglected the good guys." He said, "That's never going to happen again. I'm never going to let that happen again." With his remaining years with the Eagles, you know, it never did occur again. So if you're constantly, as a coach or a general manager, trying to put out fires with problem guys, you know, who are just not living the right way or getting in trouble off the field or stirring up problems in the locker room, and on it goes. You're just not going to be able to function well as a team. And that goes far beyond sports, Don. I think that's true of any business or any church, any organization. You get one person. You may be able to handle one non-character person, but you get two of them, you know, and they can absolutely torpedo an organization. Therefore, it's important to be thorough in your examination when we bring players aboard or trade for one. You better be very, very careful and do everything you can to learn about them, you know, before you bring them onto your team.
This whole matter of character, and you've had a lot of stars play there in Orlando, and when it comes to maybe someone who's really stood out with character, or maybe a moment character was demonstrated, may have been a star player, it may have been someone who flew under the radar a little bit, and I know you've had a lot of great character people there. What would be one that you maybe would just highlight from the sports context that you knew was that kind of leader, that ideal type of character guy you wanted in Orlando?
Well, that's a good question. Well, I often think back to our early years when Scott Skiles was our point guard. He was a tough little guy, but boy, he played hard. He demanded excellence from his teammates, wouldn't put up with anything other than total commitment and 100% effort. He coached that way later on, but he certainly played that way and demanded that his teammates play at the same level that he was playing at. And if not, he would get on you. He wouldn't back down. I often think of him. I often think way back to my Chicago days, we guarded by the name of Jerry Sloan, who spent many years coaching later the Utah Jazz. But Jerry was a character guy, played hurt, pushed his teammates, backed up the coach, you know, constantly, loyal to him. Those kind of guys are kind of rare, Don. And when you have one on your team, you know, they're awfully important if you can find that kind of guy.
Now, you've authored a book on character, Character Carved in Stone, and you're starting to give some of those attributes of high-end character guys that you've had in sports. And here you went to the world of West Point to find some core virtues when it came to character. Tell me about the journey and the path that had you go to West Point to dive into this whole subject of character.
Don, several years ago, I was invited to go up to West Point and speak to the Army sports teams, men and women's teams, and the coaches. It was a wonderful experience. After I was finished, they gave me a tour of the campus, And that's a moving experience as well, to see the, all the history there. It was terrific. Anyway, in that tour of the campus, we came to a very pretty little spot, a little park called Trophy Point. It looks out over the historic Hudson River, and I noticed in that park a bench sitting there. So I looked further, and I noticed more benches. In fact, I counted them. There were 12 stone benches there in that little park. Fortunately, Don, I looked even closer, and I noticed at the end of each bench, on either end, there was a word carved into the stone. 12 different words on each of those benches. Words like courage and loyalty, integrity, perseverance, responsibility, trust, those kind of words. And that intrigued me, and I said, there's got to be a backstory here. And I checked, and sure enough, there was. The West Point class of 1935 donated those benches to the school as a class gift. And they also selected those words, words designed to inspire and motivate and challenge current students to live and lead by those words. Then I thought, boy, this is a well-kept secret. So I talked to the publisher. I said, I think we got a book here. I said, we could do a chapter on each one of those words. And then the job was to find a West Point graduate who best modeled one of those words. That's how the book was put together.
It's great to have examples to look to when we're talking about things like this. And I know from the years we've had conversations and the many things that you've written about, your faith in Jesus Christ has been at the core of how you approach these subjects. And I look at all these different character words, from compassion to courage and loyalty, trust, service, dignity, all these things. Jesus Christ emulated all of them perfectly in character. Talk about how, as you even went through this, did these interviews and put this book on character together, I imagine your thoughts of Christ came to mind as well.
Well, Don, there's no question about that. And what I have learned in a book like this and the other many books that I write, and every success-oriented writer or motivational writer, everything they write about, even in a secular fashion, all of those principles come from the Bible. The book of Proverbs, for example, everything Zig Ziglar, for example, ever taught or wrote about all came from Proverbs. So at the end of the day, the Bible is the best success book ever written. And so when we write about, even though we don't quote scripture per se in this book, all of these principles are faith-based. They all have their origin in scripture. And of course, you just mentioned it, Don, Jesus was the ultimate character person. He was also the ultimate leader the world's ever seen. One of the things that I do when called upon to speak, I do talk about leadership, and in the right setting, I will talk about Jesus and his leadership gifts, what he did so well as a leader, and what we can learn from that.
Tonight's halftime featured interview, that's Pat Williams, author of the book Character Carved in Stone, The 12 Core Virtues of West Point That Build Leaders and Produce Success.
You've been listening to the halftime interview. Get set for the second half of tonight's game on WGRC's Football Friday.
Coles Transmissions of Shamokin Dam. Mike Bordner, owner, is sponsoring in part tonight's WGRC High School Football Game of the Week. Since 1986, Coles Transmissions has provided service and repair for automatic and manual transmissions for domestic and most foreign automobiles and light trucks. Open Monday to Friday, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Located near the intersection of Routes 11 and 15. Coles Transmissions of Shamokin Dam at 743-1115.
Serving the residential and commercial construction needs of Pennsylvania's heartland is CR Builders & Sons of Northumberland, providing single room and full structural remodeling, as well as repairs and handyman services. Projects include custom homes, additions, decks, and patios. The telephone number is 570-551-6711 or on Facebook at CR Builders & Sons LLC, a proud supporter of programming on WGRC.
Taking a look at our WGRC Halftime scoreboard, it's Southern Columbia 56 and Jersey Shore 6 at the half. Warrior Run 28 and Bloomsburg 7 at halftime. Mount Carmel 47 and Hughesville nothing at the half. Wellsboro leading Milton 40-0 at halftime. Loyal Sock 14 and Mifflinburg nothing at half. Nativity BVM 22 and Midwest nothing at halftime. Danville 43 and Montoursville 7. They are also at the half. Another one at halftime. South Williamsport and Central Columbia. They are knotted up at 7 apiece. Muncie 13 and Montgomery nothing at halftime. Columbia Montour, Votech, and Montrose. They are scoreless at the half. And tomorrow night it's Lewisburg at Chickalimmie. That game will kick off at 6 o'clock. Now back to you, Don.
All right, thanks, John. And here our halftime score. It is Sealands Grove 13, Shamokin nothing. And quite the performance here at halftime.
My word, Don.
Credit the Sealands Grove Seals, a marching band.
Down up there.
It's been an impressive show here at halftime. So I credit the, it's a large band, but boy, they brought the energy and they brought the excitement. And that's kind of your grand finale. And they love it here at
Shamokin. They do. They're getting a standing ovation right now.
Well done, Seals. Well done. Okay, so halftime, it is 13-0. Sealands Grove's had something to cheer about along the way. Been a defensive struggle. It opened up with both teams with a three and out. In fact, negative yardage early on. But the first fumble of the game, a Shamokin fumble, set up Sealands Grove on the six-yard line. And the two plays netted a touchdown, a four-yard touchdown run from Schoen at 7:42 to go in the first quarter. Made it 6-0, missed extra point there. A bad snap on that one. So 6-0 was the score. Teams traded punts. And then the fumbles. Sealands Grove with two more, but Shamokin never able to get on the board despite some decent field position. They did at one point got a fumble on the 30-yard line of Sealands Grove, but the defense is held there. But then a couple of fumbles late by Shamokin, and the last one actually, they had it on their one-yard line late in the first half and fumbled it in the end zone. It was recovered by Schoen, and that, along with the extra point, was the half scoring for Sealands Grove. That second touchdown made it 13-0 with 1:15 to go in the first half. And that's where our score is. We heard from Coach Hicks going into the half, and he was pleased with the score, but he knew that they left some points on the field, more opportunities there. He's looking to see if his team can finish some drives.
Well, like he said, you know, they're getting down the field. They're sticking to their offensive game plan, just not able to capitalize. They're not able to put it in the end zone. And you, we're seeing it with Shamokin, too. Shamokin's driving down the field, but then there's a penalty or the fumbles that we're talking about. It's those little things, and it goes back to Coach Hynoski's pregame interview. You know, he said, we need all 11 guys to be clicking. We need all 11 guys to be doing what they're supposed to be doing, and they just haven't found it yet. If they get those other one or two guys to be doing that, they might find the end zone one or two times here or three times in the second half, but they got to get it going. It'll be interesting to see what Coach Hynoski says to Chris then.
Yeah, and we've seen both quarterbacks for Shamokin, of course, early on, the hit taken by Nate Grimes. He did come back into the game, but we've been seeing Brett Nye at quarterback, the freshman as well. Let's head down to the field as Chris
some
Miller.
Some of the assistants coming out yet, but
looking for Coach Hynoski. Again, we are at the half. The score is Sealands Grove 13, Shamokin nothing, and Sealands Grove 3-3 on the season. Shamokin coming in with a 2-4 record, and it's senior night here tonight. I know Coach Henry Hynoski perhaps challenging those seniors to spur the comeback, because it's a big difference being 3-4 or 2-5 at the end of the night, of course, and they're looking to try and see if they can bounce back here. It's still a two-score game. Again, Sealands Grove with that 13-0 advantage. We're just waiting on Coach Hynoski, and we'll get his thoughts here as his team coming out. Energy, looking like they're
looks like he's just about out
getting themselves ready here. Again, a chilly night. We've seen that temperature drop and fall into the 40s. Let's head down to the field. Chris has got Coach. Coach who's chatting with the official here. And now let's get those words from Coach Hynoski.
Hey, Coach. Obviously, first half didn't go exactly like you wanted. Your defense was playing pretty strong at times. You had a couple of the fumbles and, you know, the mental miscues that you talked about last week.
What'd you say to your team at halftime?
Story of the game is the fumbles. You know, we get pinned back deep in our territory because of some deep punts. And, you know, we fumble inside the 10, you know. And you know, the other team recovers. They recover the ball in the end zone for a touchdown. So it's nothing we're doing. We're just shooting ourselves in the foot, you know. And we just got to overcome it. And, you know, there's a lot of good things happening out there. We just got to take advantage of it moving forward.
I was going to say, your offense, you know, they were able to move the ball pretty well there in the second quarter. So how do you build on that? What did you like that you saw in the first quarter?
Keep doing the same stuff. Changed some formations up. Saw some things that they were doing defensively that we can capitalize on. But, you know, once again, move the ball down the field and penalties and turnovers, you know, same story.
It's only 13-0. A lot of football left, Coach. Wish you well in the second half.
Thank you.
All right, that's Coach Henry Hynoski for the Shamokin Indians. We will take a 30-second timeout. Back with the second half kickoff coming up on the High School Football Game of the Week on WGRC.
Supporting WGRC is Horizon Federal Credit Union, serving residents throughout north central Pennsylvania, providing a range of banking services, including interest-bearing checking accounts, as well as auto, home equity, and mortgage loans. Online and mobile banking are available, with branch locations in Williamsport and Lock Haven, and ATMs elsewhere in Lycoming and Clinton counties. Online at horizonfcu.org.
Friday Rock!
WGRC's Football Friday features top matchups from around the region. It's the High School Football Game of the Week on WGRC.
And we are getting set for the second half kickoff as it is Sealands Grove 13 of Shamokin nothing here. And I hope you enjoyed the halftime interview with Pat Williams. Again, talking about character counts, a recent book he's written, and, of course, NBA season getting ready to get started, and he's one of the founders of the Orlando Magic, still working as their senior vice president. Well, here we have this kickoff, and it's going to be just a short end-over-end received at the 30 and being dropped right about the 35-yard line. That is where Sealands Grove will have it, first down and 10. And Wasoski that time with a very short kickoff, but taken by one of the up players, and again, Sealands Grove with some decent field position to get this second half started.
Yeah, it'll be, you know, both coaches talk about it, just capitalizing, finishing these drives. So Sealands Grove, obviously, they want to come out. They want to put a nice drive together, chew a little bit of clock, put one in the end zone for the offense again. And then Shamokin, of course, they want to come out and keep firing like they have been on defense and have a three and out here to start this second half.
So let's see if Shamokin's able to bounce back and have the big play go their way. It seemed as though Sealands Grove, a couple of them, Coach Hynoski talked about that moments ago. I formation, shock under center, pitch. Hollenbach, left side, goes to turn that corner. He gets to the corner, but not much beyond that. He'll be brought down right about the 38 or 39-yard line. He'll place it right between those two marks, and that will set up a second down and a long six here for Sealands Grove.
It'll be interesting to see if Sealands Grove comes out in that power, in that I formation and you know, run towards that, or if they're just, you know, if that was just a quick one play right here to start the second half and they're going to go back to gun. It looks like they're staying in the I formation.
Shock under center. As mentioned, the eye, one receiver each side. Sealands Grove working left to right. Hand off up the middle. Not much. Bounce it off. Hollenbach now to the left and springs it forward for three or four yards. Looked like he was going to be just totally bottled up, but popped right off of that and gets a few yards. It's going to be third and short coming up.
Well, it was a good stick by Aaron Frosch of Shamokin. Just didn't hang on. He, you know, at that point, if you're in there making a hit like that, you got to grab something. Grab some jersey, grab a leg. Because you can't let the running backs bounce off you like that, and Hollenbach will do that to you.
Third down and two for the Seals. Opening drive of the second half. It's Sealands Grove 13, Shamokin nothing. Shock under center, I formation, one receiver each side. Now Nyland starting to move in motion. It's going to be a pitch to Hollenbach. Hollenbach tries to catch the near sideline, and he is going to have just enough for the first down. Brought down about the 47-yard line. He needed to get to the 45, so has the first down with 2 yards to spare.
Yeah, just that outside contain again. I know it wasn't a huge gain, and, you know, Shamokin stopped them, but they really needed that third down stop to go three and out. But it's that outside contain again. They're not keeping that edge, and Hollenbach would had just enough, and he has the speed to hit the corner to get that 2 to 3 yards that he needed.
10:07 remaining in this third quarter. Shock from the shotgun. Three receiver set. Handoff. Hollenbach up the middle. He's got a gain of about 3 yards to the 49-yard line. And there you see a running back who knows how to fall forward and after that contact pick up another yard or two. They're close to midfield on this drive, which started on the Sealands Grove 35.
Well, it's been run, and it's all been to Hollenbach. You just wait. You're going to see Danny Shock. He's going to hit him with a little bit of play action here. Oh, looks like they're going back to gun. Trips to the far side.
And one receiver near side. That would be Kantz. Shock has one in the backfield. That's Hollenbach. It's going to be a screen play for Hollenbach and just throws it way over his head. Is that play kind of blown up from the inside? Is big pressure coming from the linebackers? Max Madden was in there in a hurry. So good pressure from Shamokin forces a third down and 7.
Great pressure, and the outside backer actually read that extremely well, saw Hollenbach going out on the swing pass, and I think that was intentional by Danny Shock. He overthrew him on purpose because if he didn't, that would have had an opportunity for a peck.
Yeah, definitely don't want to make mistakes. A 2-touchdown lead, and Sealands Grove here about the middle of the field. Shock from the shotgun, 3rd and 7, back to throw, looks, middle of the field. Fires, and it's tipped by a Shamokin player trying to get that ball to Christian Kantz. Kantz looking for a flag, but good coverage, and that time the tip successfully done by Zolkowski of Shamokin.
And that was, you know, I said about textbook coverage by Josh Nyland. Zolkowski, hand in the hip pocket, man coverage, running right down the sideline with him. And then once the receiver looks back, he looks back, gets his hand up. Made a nice play on the ball.
So the drive stalls on the 49-yard line. And Zolkowski's been in for Shikitano, who suffered an injury a week ago. We've seen Shikitano on offense, but he's been not playing defense here tonight. Punt hits around the 20, and it rolls to about the 17-yard line, and that is where the Seals will down it. It's going to be first down and 10 coming up for Shamokin. So they managed to stall that Sealands Grove drive. But now the important thing, TJ, is that Shamokin does something with it here. And, you know, one, gets this out of their own end. And secondly, they need to get some points on the board at some point.
They do. And, you know, a good stop coming out of second half here, making Sealands Grove punt. Only got one first down, but now they need to drive down the field and they need to finish, like Coach Hynoski said.
First down and 10 for the guys in purple. Shamokin wearing those home purple uniforms, white trim. Sealands Grove in the road white. Nye hands it off, and it's going to be maybe a gain of about a yard as the carry that time by Max Madden, the sophomore. Second down and 9 coming up. So again, Nate Grimes, the starting quarterback, took a big hit in the first half. Did come back in, but we've been seeing Brett Nye for the most part, the freshman quarterback, leading the way here for Shamokin.
And once again, these pulling guards for Shamokin and even the tackles they pull sometimes too, they're big guys, but man, they can move and they make some nice hits. If that wasn't a good block there, it would have been a tackle for a loss.
Mosser split out near side and says it's going to be an inside handoff to Bryson James. James almost had a seam for a moment, gets a yard, but he's going to be wrapped up quickly, shown with the carry, with the tackle. It's going to be right about the 18-yard line. So this will be pretty much at the line of scrimmage. So 3rd down and 9 coming up now for Shamokin. See if they go to the air again. Joe Mosser, the 6'2 wide receiver, been their big play guy that way. Been tough to get the ball to him here tonight. Mosser's going to be split out to the far side, right about the far hash. Ball is lined up here on the near hash. Nye under center, 2 in the backfield. Fakes the handoff, and he's going to run right into the hands of the Sealands Grove defenders. Nicholas Schaefer really got a handle on the quarterback, brought him down, and Nye goes down about the 14-yard line. Shamokin forced a punt.
There were two untouched Sealands Grove defenders that just, I mean, there was nowhere for Nye to go.
So the ball placed on the 14-yard line. That drive lost 5 yards. 4th down and 14 here for Shamokin. Standing right at his goal line is James. James gets off the kick, end over end. A good one. Hits it midfield, and in fact, neither returner able to get to it. It's going to roll all the way down to the Sealands Grove 30-yard line. So Bryson James with a big punt. And, you know, it's plays like that, again, You can't underestimate the importance on special teams. You know, you're standing on your own goal line, and there's a good likelihood that Sealands Grove could have the ball on your side of the field, but instead a punt that gets over the return man takes a roll, which is an added benefit.
Yep.
And here, you know, Sealands Grove faced with starting on their own 30. Not bad field position,
no,
but not nearly what it could have been.
And that's something. You know, you got to credit the punter there. And then even the guys that got downfield, those gunners, they're very important on the outside, because if they don't get downfield fast enough, that returner is going to have a chance to get some better field position for them.
Back to throw, shot, across the middle. He's got Nyland, and Nyland's got it. 45, 40, it's a foot race. 30, 20, 10. Nyland has six. Josh Nyland, the three-year starter, senior wide receiver, shock hit him in stride, and that is going to be a 70-yard touchdown strike for Sealands Grove.
And you know, Zukowski was on coverage there, but Nyland's so fast that, I mean, nothing really Zukowski could have done there. He just got beat deep.
So shock to Nyland. It's been a dynamic duo this season for Sealands Grove, and connecting their 4-6, a 70-yard touchdown, and I guess you could say for the Shamokin crowd, that's shocking. Danny Shock, the arm, and Nyland, the legs on the other end. 6:43 to go in this third quarter. Snap, down, the hold is good, the kick is up, and it is through. So the extra point by Rule is good. And with 6:43 to go in the third quarter, it's now Sealands Grove 20, Shamokin nothing, on the High School Football Game of the Week on WGRC.
Agent Jeff Connor and the staff at the Allstate Insurance Company in Lewisburg are sponsoring WGRC, featuring 24-hour customer service and online policy access, providing a wide range of Allstate Insurance products. They also offer investment advising and financial management services. Jeff Connor's Allstate Insurance office at 1524 West Market Street in Lewisburg at 570-523-9500 and at agents.allstate.com.
Don, TJ, and Chris in the third. It's Loyal Sock 21 and Mifflinburg nothing as they increase the lead there. Central Columbia 14 and South Williamsport 7 in the third, and Muncie 13 and Montgomery on the board with 7 now in the third. Now back to you.
All right, thanks, John. Here at Sealands Grove now with a 20-0 lead over Shamokin. The Indians here celebrating their senior night, but right now Sealands Grove spoiling it. Sealands Grove 3-3 on the season. Big win over Loyal Sock a week ago. They're trying to keep that momentum going. Shamokin trying to snap a three-game losing streak. So far, not looking great that's going to happen. Here's a kickoff, goes out of bounds on that far sideline, and the Shamokin Indians will have it first and 10 from the 35.
And I don't know. I don't think that's intentional, because that's the second time now that it happened. I could see maybe right before halftime if it went out of bounds, okay. But I think they're trying to hit that back corner of the field, but just taking a bad bounce for him.
Yeah, it's in front of the deep man, but it's kind of that zone along the sideline that's kind of empty, and you actually kind of almost got it to sit and die right in the field of play, in which case would have been difficult for Shamokin to go anywhere with it, but it just went out of bounds by about 3 or 4 yards. So first and 10, Shamokin from their 35-yard line. Third quarter action here tonight on our High School Football Game of the Week on WGRC. Chicatano in motion, right to left, back to throw, and tripped up is Nye as he was looking to scramble, kind of ran out of room and got tripped up at his feet, and it's going to be a loss of 2, second and 12 now for Shamokin.
He had a nice hole there, too. I mean, he could have maybe, you know, if he didn't get tripped up, he might have been able to pick up, 5-6 yards on that there.
So Sealands Grove with a short touchdown run for their first score. Then it was a defensive fumble recovery in the end zone for touchdown number 2. And this last one, a 70-yard touchdown strike, shock to Nyland. And right now, Shamokin reeling, looking to try and get their first points on the board. 20-0. Handoff, or rather, it's going to be a quarterback keeper. And, takes a big hit at the 34-yard line, maybe a gain of 1. But Brett Nye ran it himself, and he ran into a rather abrupt end. I'm not sure if that was shown with the stop
or
not.
Five.
Yeah, that's shown.
Yeah, that was a beautiful form tackle there by Shown.
It was a double takedown for Shown. 2 points.
He's he's holding something. So, yeah. I mean, beautiful form tackle, but obviously he got a little bit shaken up on the back end.
Yeah, Sean has checked out. He did run off, but he's sitting on the sideline, and he's getting some attention over there.
Hope he's okay.
So here comes Shamokin now facing third down and 10 from the 35-yard line. Two receivers far side, pro set. Nye under center, takes the snap, drops back, has a moment, throws, and overshoots his target, and Nyland intercepts it at the 47-yard line, and Selinsgrove will have it there, first down and 10.
You know, you can't fault Nye for that. That was a beautiful ball, just went right through the receiver's hands. The receiver's got to come down with that.
Little high, but yeah, it gave a play opportunity there for his wide receiver. And it was a deep enough downfield, would have been a first down with a lot to spare. But indeed, it's going to be an interception. So looking at those turnovers, three fumbles by Shamokin and the interception. And here comes Selinsgrove, first down and 10 from their 47-yard line. Two receivers far side. Now Nyland coming in motion from that far side to near side, so they'll have trips on the near side. Penalty flag comes out. Shock rolls left, looks downfield, throws, and it's going to be overthrown as he tries to get that ball to Christian Kanz, senior wide receiver who had 70 receiving yards a week ago against Loyal Sock, another location with an L.
It's going to be a legal shift on Nyland. Came in motion to make it a trips, but started to head upfield before the ball was snapped.
So first down and 10, right? First down and 15, I should say, after the penalty yardage is marked off here. So ball will be placed on the 42-yard line. That's where the Seals will have it with a first down and 15. Repeating that down. Mentioned Christian Kantz, the intended target there. It's his first year in the full-time role. Had some reps a year ago, but so far this season, 11 receptions, 134 yards. And here comes a shock from the shotgun. Two receivers to the far side, one to the near side. In that backfield is one to block, and Shock's going to keep it himself. Quarterback keeper cross midfield to the 45 of Shamokin. That's close to a first down. It's going to be about a yard shy, so a 14-yard carry there for Danny Shock. And yeah, I mentioned earlier about the big strides. He's 6'3", and he moves ground quickly. That play, he looked even faster. So he's got a little bit of speed to him as well.
He does, and they're starting to – I guess it would have been mid-2000s when Eric Decker played for Selinsgrove, and he ran the ball a lot. They like to use him out of the gun and even under center and roll him out and just let him run.
Ahmet was the fullback blocking on that play. Now this time Shock with the quarterback keeper, just quick snap straight up the middle. He's got the yard needed plus an extra. It's going to be first down and 10 as Selinsgrove now with the ball on the Shamokin 42.
Yep, Selinsgrove, Coach Hicks has to be happy. They came out, they got that score, and now they're moving the ball again. So I'm sure Coach Hicks is happy with the way the offense is going, but obviously you don't want to take your foot off the gas pedal yet.
4:24 to go in this third quarter. It is Selinsgrove 20, Shamokin nothing. Two receivers each side. Ahmet, the fullback to the left of Shock, who's in the shotgun, takes the snap, moves his feet. Now he's going to scramble forward again across the 40, 35-yard line, and Shock just scrambles out at the 31. So that is going to be another gainer. Not enough for a first down, but, well, actually it is going to be enough for a first down, I believe, depending on how they spot that. He should have the first with a yard to spare. Indeed, first down, Selinsgrove. So they move the chains once again.
Yep, just they're putting some nice drives together, and Danny's using his legs nice, and I think this Shamokin defense is getting a little tired now.
So first and 10 now coming up for the Seals. Spreading it out still with four receivers, two to each side. Shock in the shotgun, Ahmet to his left. It's going to be a handoff to the fullback, cross the 30, and then brought down at the 28-yard line. Just quick up the middle, and the fullback picks up three, second and seven.
So the thing about this right now, they haven't passed the ball yet. They're running the ball. The clock's running. They're wearing the Shamokin defense down. This is exactly what you want to do, once you're late into the third quarter, going to be going into the fourth quarter, is chew the clock, run the ball, and tire that defense out.
Second down and 7 for the Seals. Ball on the 28-yard line of Shamokin. Already leading by 3 scores. Ahmet up the middle. He gets hit right at the 30-yard line. And we'll say that tackle that time made by Ian Paul.
Tackle on the play number 58.
Nice stick there. Coming in from the linebacker position. And
they're going to credit Frederick as well. I think we'll split that tackle between the two. But a big hit there that time. So third down after the loss of a pair. It'll be a third down and 9 now for Sealands Grove on the Shamokin 30-yard line. Indians looking to try and keep this one from getting any further away than the 3-score advantage Sealands Grove currently has. 2:51 showing in the third quarter. Shock, shotgun, back to throw, scrambling, running out of room. He's going to have to throw it away. Had a receiver, Kantz, in the neighborhood on the near sideline, but good coverage by Shamokin. And that time... Danny Schock didn't really have anywhere to go with it. Good penetration.
Well, they were trying to set up a tight end screen there. Shamokin read it, played the screen. And then from there, you know, Danny just made a nice play by trying to get the ball down the field to a receiver so there was no flag thrown.
Hey, TJ.
Yep.
You know how you said you want to put on the shoulder pads and the helmet?
Yeah.
Well, I got to touch the football.
Oh,
I just
boy.
Picked it up out of bounds.
Reliving those glory days.
Yeah. So fourth down and 9, and the Seals going to go for it here since they're on the Shamokin 30. Shock back to throw across the middle, and a little bit of contact there in the secondary between Nyland and Pearson, but no flags. It falls incomplete, and that is where Shamokin will have it first down and 10. So the defense there, TJ, with a classic bend, don't break.
Mm-hmm.
And now Shamokin has it on the 30, so decent field position. But the one thing Shamokin has not been able to get is that big play. We saw Mosser have a couple of big plays last week for them, but they need to find something here on offense. You're getting close. There's still time. Getting closer to that fourth quarter, it'd be important for Shamokin to try and find a way to get some points up here, trailing by 3 scores.
This is a crucial drive. They need a touchdown on this drive.
Brett Nye under center. Handoff. This is going to be Max Madden, and he does not quite get back to the line of scrimmage. That's going to be a loss of a yard to about the 29.
Seals are starting to pick that up here with Madden.
That off tackle lay.
Yeah.
So, yep. Yeah, they're playing that really well now, and they're not giving up the edge. That was the big thing. They were getting hooked on that edge there, and you know, it's supposed to be an off tackle inside ISO, but Madden's a great enough athlete that he was able to bounce it, and he's not able to do that now with them keeping the edge the way they are.
Second down and 11 for Shamokin. I formation, Nye under center, takes the snap, quick toss, and caught at the 40. Nice play by Paul. Paul to the 45, 46-yard line. Well-timed as the quarterback, Nye, finds Paul for a first down.
That's just that tight end seam play. That's the third time they ran that now tonight. The first time Ahmet got his hand on it. The second time the linebackers played up underneath it. And now this third time that they ran it, it was executed well by Shamokin.
So first and 10 for the Indians from the 46-yard line. One receiver, far side, pro set. Two in the backfield, back to throw, caught Mosser at the 49 of Sealands Grove. So now we're starting to see that passing game getting a little bit of energy and momentum as Nye, the freshman quarterback, finding Mosser, the big target.
Well, this will, you know, with them passing the ball that the way that they are now, should help open up that run game again, because Sealands Grove is loading the box, you know, trying to slow Madden down. So hopefully that'll take some pressure off of them, and Shamokin can get a drive going here.
The Seals play with 3 down linemen, so those 5 linebackers race to the football, respecting that pass game now. Second down and 4 from the eye. Nye back to throw, goes and tries to get it to
number
Bryson
15,
James out of the backfield,
pass.
But overthrows the running back. It's going to fall incomplete. And it's going to be now third down and 4.
He had him. He was open in the flat to where he would have had enough for a first down. Just overthrown. And you know, Brett Nye's a freshman, needs to settle down a little bit, you know, set up in the pocket after that fake and make a nice touch pass. But just overthrew him. A little too much, too much on it.
53 seconds to go in this third quarter. Shamokin on the Sealands Grove 48-yard line, trailing 20-0. Nye pitching the ball to right. It's going to be Max Madden, and only back to the line
number
of scrimmage. So now fourth
Max
down
Madden
and 4
carry.
Tackle out of
and,
play.
You know, if your coach, Henry Ionoski, you're really hoping you pick up a couple of yards there, even if you don't get that first down. Having a fourth and two, fourth and one, a whole lot different scenario than having fourth and four coming up here.
You definitely, I don't know if I like this call. You're about midfield and they're going to go for it.
Well, it's an aggressive play call here from, let's see what. And you may try and get that offsides or something. 5 yards gives you a first down.
And the defense is playing well, too.
That's true. Mosser near side. It's going to be a handoff. Looking downfield and across the middle and caught. They go right back to the play across the middle and in traffic. Catching that one is going to be Ian Paul once again.
It's just that tight end seam again. They ran it. That's their fourth time tonight running it. And two out of four, so they're 50% on it so far. And the last two, they got it.
It seems to be one of the throws that Nye is most comfortable throwing, and it's got the Indians on the move. We've hit the end of the third quarter. We'll go into the fourth quarter. Sealands Grove 20, Shamokin nothing. Back with fourth quarter action coming up on the High School Football Game of the Week on WGRC.
Jesus said in John 4:14, "Whoever drinks the water I give him will never thirst. Indeed, it will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life." This encouragement is brought to you by Melcott Radiator, repairing and rebuilding radiators for any size, make, and model, including antique cars, tractors, and heavy equipment. They also service diesel fuel tanks, oil coolers, heater cores, AC condensers, and ReCore Charge air coolers. Our thanks to Melcott Radiator on the Old Trail in Sealands Grove at 374-2575.
Don, TJ, and Chris in the third. It's Nativity BVM 22 and Midwest 7. They're now on the board in that one. Central Columbia 14 and South Williamsport 7. They're now in the fourth quarter. Muncie 20 and Montgomery 7 in the third. And Columbia Montour Votech leading Montrose 6-0 in the fourth. Now back to you.
Thanks, John. Well, we are going to the fourth quarter, and it is Sealands Grove here leading Shamokin 20-0 is the score. But right now, Shamokin on the move. They have a first down and 10 on the Sealands Grove 35. Thanks for joining us here tonight. It is week 7 of the high school football season. Sealands Grove at 3-3. Fresh off a win over Loyal Sauk. They had wins earlier in the season against Lewisburg and Shikellamy. Shamokin, 2-4 on the season. They've lost their last three, including last week to Jersey Shore. Back to throw, Bryson James. He is a running back. It's going to be looking down the field, but he has nothing down there, and he's going to be dropped now at the 42-yard line. It was going to be a halfback pass, but James couldn't find anyone open downfield.
He was looking for Shikitano, but it was well covered by Sealands Grove. They didn't bite on the toss play.
So a loss of 5. He's going to be dropped at the 40-yard line, second down and 15. So that time, Shamokin going to a little bit of a trick play. Does not net the result they're looking for. Second and 15 early here in this fourth quarter. Pro set. Both James and Madden in the backfield, and the quarterback, Nye, is going to be wrapped up and brought down at the 46-yard line. Twisted down awkwardly, but popping back up is the freshman, Nye. And now third down and a bunch as they need to get to the 25-yard line, and right now that ball just shy of the 45. So good 20 yards needed here for Shamokin. Not many plays in the playbook designed for 20, but...
Well, at this point, it's four down territory for Shamokin. So if you can at least get maybe 10 yards back and then fourth down, have a shot at, you know, a fourth and 10 or fourth and 9, fourth and 8 maybe. That's what you're looking at now.
Looking for any kind of chunk play, and Mosser is on the near side. Instead, it's going to be a little reverse misdirection here to James, and James gets a carry to about the 37-yard line. So they do pick up a bit, but it's still going to be about a third down and 12, third and 13. So
it'll be fourth down.
Or fourth down, my apology. Yeah, fourth down from the 37-yard line of Sealands Grove. Got to get to the 25. Shamokin needing to come up with something. Trailing 20-0.
These hits are starting to sound harder down here. It's getting a lot colder. Wind's starting to pick up.
So maybe I don't want to put that helmet and
stay here in the nice, warm, toasty press box where they have the meatballs and pierogies here at Shamokin. Under center, Nye on this fourth down. He trips coming back from center. Goes down at the 41-yard line. And
the turf monster.
Just a unfortunate scenario on fourth down, and so the Sealands Grove Seals will have it first down and 10. It's one of those added frustrations when you have a fourth down. You know, if you go to execute a play and the play breaks down and falls apart, that's kind of one thing. But when you never even get the play off in a way, because, you know, it's just added frustration to that one. You can see it on the sideline, the body language here for Shamokin. Mm-hmm.
That's one of those that you'd love to have back, at least just have an opportunity to even get the ball downfield, but it just hasn't been in Shamokin's favor tonight.
So Sealands Grove has it first and 10 from their own 40-yard line. 9:43 left in this fourth quarter. One receiver each side. Tight formation here shown with a carry up the middle. Looks like they're going to work that clock a bit across the 45. Nope, they're going to mark them down at the 44. Momentum kind of carried him past the 45, but the knee went down. Ball's going to be placed at the 44-yard line. Second down and 6 on the way for the Seals.
Yep, now it's just run the ball, chew the clock for Sealands Grove. You know, you're up 3 scores, so the more clock that you can chew, you know, you're not worried about getting the ball down the field.
Shock under center, and you can see he's looking at that play clock, which is showing 13 on it. And he does snap it here at 11 seconds. It's going to be a handoff and a first down for Nate Schoen, the junior, able to get across midfield. And that is enough to move the chains as Sealands Grove has it on the Shamokin 49-yard line.
Not before Schoen picks up a first down.
So the Sealands Grove offense, after some early struggles, doing exactly what they need to do. They've had a couple of big plays. The one big 70-yard touchdown pass, shock to Nyland, that came in the third quarter. That's what made this a 3-score game. But now they are chewing some clock on the ground, thanks to the legs of Nate Schoen. Earlier we saw Danny Schock, the quarterback, doing some quarterback running as well successfully. Here's going to be another carry, and this is going to be shown to about the 45 of Shamokin. That's going to be another 4-yard gain.
That's all they need right now at this point. 3-4 yards every play. Keep getting those first downs. Clock's ticking. Shamokin's getting tired. This is the bread and butter right now for Sealands Grove. This is all they need to do. And they've been impressive in this second half offensively. They've looked a whole lot better, and the defense kept playing the way that they were in the first half too.
8 minutes to go as the clock chugs along. One receiver each side, but I think that's going to be a moot point here. Schoen's in the backfield. That's the one to watch. Oh, no. Danny Schock down the middle. Has an open target. Caught at the 22. He finds Wyatt Metzger. Senior had to hold up and kind of catch that, but it was floated down there in the right spot for him to make a play. That is a first down, Sealands Grove.
Interesting to see them go down the center of the field like that, but, hey, they executed it. Great play call. Got down the field. The clock's going to keep ticking. You know, they're just putting themselves at a better position to score some more points, whether it be a touchdown or a field goal here.
I think they kind of caught the defense sleeping, and the defense just anticipated run, and then it was wide open.
So first down and 10, Sealands Grove from the Shamokin 21-yard line. Schock hands it off. It's going to be shown up the middle. He's got some room. Bounces inside the 15, able to get some yards after contact. Gain of about 6 there for maybe 7. Yeah, it's going to be second and short coming up here. Second and 3, maybe even second and 2 here for Sealands Grove. Second down and 3.
Well, you got a guy like Nate Schoen. You know, he's not the tallest football player, tallest running back. But, man, is he thick. You know, 220 probably at least, or 215. And he can pound the ball with those thick legs that he has. And he keeps those legs pumping.
Schock getting the game clock down to single digits. Schoen up the middle inside the 10 and then tripped up about the 7 or 7, maybe put it on the 8-yard line. So that's going to be enough for another Sealands Grove first down. This drive starting on their own 40-yard line and now methodically on the ground for the most part, but the big pass play to Metzger as well took some yardage. So it's going to be first down and goal coming up for the Seals. They have it on the 8-yard line here. 6:26 to go. Everything kind of going Sealands Grove's way right now. Again, that clock getting a little lower, but they snap it before it hits single digits on that one. It's going to be a handoff to Schoen. Schoen getting close to the 5, maybe just shy of that 5-yard line. Gain of 3 for Sealands Grove. Second and goal coming up.
Nice bounce by Schoen there. All they're doing is it's a simple zone blocking scheme and just letting Schoen find the hole, bounce to it. That was a nice.
Sealensgrove knocking on the door once again. Already a touchdown on the ground from Schoen. Schoen also recovered a fumble in the end zone for a touchdown, plus a passing touchdown here. Has the three-score edge for Sealensgrove. Shock rolls right, throws, goes for the end zone, and that is going to be a Sealensgrove touchdown.
Danny Shock's pass.
Danny Shock.
Metzger, I think.
Able to find the tight end, Wyatt Metzger, in the end zone. His fourth touchdown grab of the year for Danny Shock. His seventh touchdown throw of the year. And the Seals leading Shamokin 26-0.
Very nice drive. And that right there makes Coach Hicks very happy. You know, at that point, you are running the ball a lot, wearing the defense down, but that's what you need to do at the end of the game. You know, you can't, like I said, you can't let off the gas pedal. You got to keep pushing because you can't give that other team the opportunity to come back.
Extra point attempt by Rule. It is up, and it is good. So with 5:26 to go, it's now Sealensgrove 27, Shamokin nothing on the High School Football Game of the Week on WGRC.
Underwriting WGRC is Steininger's Laundry and Dry Cleaning. For over 55 years, Steininger's has provided dry cleaning service for area residents, caring for all types of garments. Steininger's also cleans and preserves wedding gowns. Featuring drive-through service at 4 Commerce Avenue in Hummel's Wharf and 7th Street in Lewisburg. Also located at 107 West Pine Street in Sealensgrove. And featuring additional drop-off locations in Middleburg, Mifflinburg, Northumberland, and Sunbury. And at Lingle's Market in Watsontown. Steininger's Laundry and Dry Cleaning. Glad to support WGRC.
Listener supported.
WGRC Lewisburg.
WJRC Lewistown.
WCRG Williamsport.
WZRG Cultmont.
And WGRC.com.
Underwriting.
And here we are with 5:26 to go. It is a Sealensgrove 27-0 lead over Shamokin. And you know, it's a chilly night here in October, and I'm seeing a lot more activity in the parking lot as a lot of folks here from Shamokin deciding this one's almost over. Not quite. Squib kick, of course, down the middle here, and Shamokin fields it on the 15, 25-yard line. And not much pass there for Pearson. Pearson may have gotten to the 25, then kind of danced backwards a little bit, looking for a little more yardage. But it'll be Shamokin with the football on the 25-yard line, first down and 10.
Well, at this point, you know, Coach Hynoski would love to see a drive down the field and at least get some points up on the board before this game's over. You know, at this point, you're looking for a moral victory. You want something to build off of for going into next week, you know, because it's – can't say that it can't be done, but it's going to be a tough challenge, you know, to put 28 points up on the board and win this football game with only 5 minutes left.
Brett Nye, the freshman quarterback, under center. Again, Grimes came out earlier of this game. Pass near sideline to Mosser, and he takes a hit right there on the sideline from Nyland, but that is going to be enough for a first down. Shamokin.
Nice pass by Nye, the freshman. And you wonder how much, you know, obviously you're game planning with Grimes the whole week, and you don't know how much Nye was able to practice with the first team. And to be put in this situation in this game, I feel like Brett Nye has handled himself, you know, the best that he could so far.
And Grimes is on the sideline with his helmet on. But it's Nye, again, eye formation here. He's going to hand the football off. This is going to be a carry for Bryson James, maybe a yard or so to about the 36. He is tripped up right there. Second down and 9 now coming up for the Indians.
Now, you don't want to say it, but, you know, you kind of wonder if the other thing that hurts Shamokin, too, is they've kind of become predictable with the play calling. It just doesn't seem like they are able to spread it around as well as Sealensgrove has tonight, which has been able to keep the defense off balance.
So that Shamokin offense coming up to the line of scrimmage. Two in the backfield. That's going to be Max Madden. Also Bryson James. Chicatano in motion right to left. Back to throw. Nye looking deep for Mosser. Mosser's caught it at the 46-yard line, spins to the outside, and dances out of bounds right about midfield. So the wide receiver able to find his open spot there, find a little lane to travel through, and Nye did a good job delivering the football where it needed to be.
Great concentration there by Mosser, too. I mean, he bobbled it, ball went back up in the air, focused on the ball to get it in, and then got his eyes downfield and got, you know, an extra 7-8 yards on the play too on top of it. So great concentration there.
So Shamokin now on their 48-yard line, first down and 10. I formation, I under center. Shikitano in motion left to right. Handoff is going to come to Bryson James. Shakes off one tackler, will not shake off the second one, and that is Ahmed, the tackle machine for Sealands Grove's defense, able to wrap him up, bring him down at the 49-yard line. Ahmed with 54 tackles coming into the game, 9 of them for loss, and he's gotten a few more of those racked up here tonight, TJ.
Well, he's a quiet, statistical man. It's not, you know, he's not flashy, but he sticks to his reads. Makes his reads as a linebacker, flies to the football, makes good plays. Great, great defensive football player for the Seals.
About a gain of a half yard on that one. Second down and 9, we'll say, for Shamokin. Shikitano's in motion. Nye under center. Nye rolls left, looks, finds Shikitano at midfield. Shikitano tries to get himself 15, moving forward, gets to the Sealands Grove 47-yard line. So that's a gain of almost 4 yards on that play. It's coming up a third down and 5 for the Indians. 3:19 on the clock, and again, just looking to try and get that 0 replaced with some points is what Shamokin's looking to do here. Sealands Grove has the 27-0 lead.
And this is something, too. I mean, we've seen them put drives together. They just haven't capitalized on them. So, you know, like I said, Coach Hynoski's probably hoping to see, you know, just get a touchdown before the end of this ball game.
Both Shikitano and Mosser are on the near side, split out. And it's going to be looking that way as Nye goes for Shikitano. He's got it at the 44, and he's going to get out of bounds at the 40-yard line. First down for Shikitano, and penalty flags come out. Late hit here against Sealands Grove, and a charge with that one is going to be Wyatt Metzger.
Metzger, there is a penalty on
Shikitano turned around looking for the flag, and he received it as Metzger just carried that contact too deep out of bounds at the Shamokin sideline.
You know, and I don't think that was intentional standing down here. I think he just didn't pay attention where he was and just got that extra shove a little late.
So it will be a personal foul against Sealands Grove, and Shamokin now with some of their deepest territory positioning here in against Sealands Grove on the Sealands Grove 23-yard line, first down and 10. This drive started back on the Shamokin 25. And now they're on the Sealands Grove 23. Two in the backfield. That's Pearson and James. Shikitano in motion right to left. Back to throw. Nye looking. Rolls to his left. He's going to be dropped back at the 27-yard line. Good pursuit from behind as Scott Kissinger, the outside linebacker, the junior, able to wrap him up from the blind side.
I mean, he was hustling. He said, there's Nye. He's rolling out. I'm going to get him. And he did. Great edge pursuit. And, I mean, he's had a big quiet night, I guess is what I want to say. He's also had a very good night, too, Kissinger.
Second down and 13 right now coming up for Shamokin. Ball is placed on the 27-yard line. Back to throw. Nye, he is going to throw it as a would have been a halfback screen to James, and that was kind of the last check down option there, and just ran out of time. That ball hits the turf. It's going to be third down and long.
Yeah, that's James has a little bit of running room if Nye can get the ball to him. Just, I mean, the pressure that Sealands Grove is bringing, and you know, like we said, he's young, he's a freshman, he's gets a little bit flustered, and you know, it's the growing pains of having a freshman quarterback in there, you know, that most likely hadn't game planned a lot of reps with the first team coming into this week.
But they're not taking the sack, which, you know, to his credit, getting rid of that football gives himself a chance here with a third down and about 14 to go. There's going to be a penalty. There's going to be a timeout. We'll take a 30-second break as well. 1:58 to go in this one. It's Sealands Grove 27, Shamokin nothing on the High School Football Game of the Week on WGRC.
underwriting WGRC Friday Night Football is Better Business Solutions of Danville, providing sales and service of personal computers and the software that makes them function, offering support for both the home and business user. Better Business Solutions, located on the web at wearebbs.com. Their telephone number is 570-275-5844.
Get fired up. The Regional High School Football Game of the Week on WGRC.
In our game here tonight, it started off as a real defensive struggle between these teams, but it's really gone Selinsgrove's way, especially here in the second half, and it's Selinsgrove 27, Shamokin nothing. Well, Shamokin's still looking to try and get some points on the board. They're facing a third down and 14 from the Selinsgrove 27-yard line. Nice fall, chilly evening here for high school football. Freshman quarterback Brett Nye under center, throws, completes it. This is going to be to the 20-yard line, and that time it is caught by Blake Kane, the senior tight end. Another one of those players playing through injury, trying to make this senior season happen. And well, he picks up some yardage, but still a fourth down and about seven coming up. It's going to be a short seven, long six here needed for Shamokin. 1:33 on the clock, of course, going for it here. See if they can extend the drive or put it in the end zone for six.
That's the hope here for the Shamokin Indians. Get this first down, get some points on the board. I mean, there's a minute left. Take a moral victory.
Nye's going to have it himself. He runs out of time. Ball comes out. Schoen has it, but they're going to whistle it dead as the quarterback brought down at the 24-yard line. So that play blows up on the Indians as the Selinsgrove defense again smothers it out. And they will have it a couple of knees away from putting this one in the books. 106 to go. The Seals will have it on the 24-yard line.
You can't speak enough about this Selinsgrove defense, the way that they've played tonight.
It's been a dominant unit out there. And next up for the Seals, they'll have Central Mountain at home. And then in 2 weeks, one of our games of the week, they will host the Danville Ironmen and then finish up their season on the road at Montoursville. So that's what Selinsgrove has. Tonight they're going to go to 4-3 on the season. As for Shamokin, dropping to 2-5, they'll have a couple of road games at Danville, at Shikellamy, and then they'll finish at home against Mount Carmel. So Shamokin Indians going to need to try and get things righted on the road here these next couple of weeks. Under a minute to go here, 59 seconds on the clock, although
looks like the clock stopped for some reason.
Yeah, I was looking to see. I don't think there was a timeout called as far as I can tell. Still showing that Shamokin has two timeouts. They took one earlier. And after the knee. Okay, we're waiting to see if this clock gets restarted up here again. The play clock is showing zero at the moment. Right now the game clock showing 59 seconds. Again, the score, Selinsgrove 27.
You should run more time off the play clock or off the game clock there.
And here comes the game clock. They wind that up and get it ticking. And game clock showing 30 seconds. So we'll be able to take a knee here. Going to wait for this one to get a little further along. So just academic at this point to have one final moment. I'd say victory formation, but not quite victory formation. So 29 seconds on the game clock, and Danny Schock does take that knee.
And that'll be all she wrote.
And indeed, that'll do it here tonight at Shamokin. So the Selinsgrove Seals coming away an impressive victory. 27-0. We'll take a break here. When we come back, we'll hear from winning football coach Derek Hicks of the Selinsgrove Seals in the win column tonight. 27-0 on the high school football game of the week on WGRC.
Coast Transmissions of Shamokin Dam. Mike Bordner, owner, is sponsoring in part tonight's WGRC High School Football Game of the Week. Since 1986, Coast Transmissions has provided service and repair for automatic and manual transmissions,
for domestic and most foreign automobiles and light trucks. Open Monday to Friday, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Located near the intersection of Routes 11 and 15. Call Transmissions of Shamokin Dam at 743-1115.
Vreeland's Harley-Davidson of Bloomsburg is supporting WGRC. Since 1990, they've been selling new and used bikes, parts, and accessories. Their on-site service department performs repairs, restorations, and customizations. In-house financing is available. Bike storage is offered from November through April. Located along Route 11 with hours Monday through Saturday, their phone number is 570-784-2453 on the web at vreelandsharley.com.
Serving the residential and commercial construction needs of Pennsylvania's heartland is CR Builders & Sons of Northumberland, providing single room and full structural remodeling, as well as repairs and handyman services. Projects include custom homes, additions, decks, and patios. The telephone number is 570-551-6711 or on Facebook at CR Builders & Sons, LLC, a proud supporter of programming on WGRC.
It's the High School Football Game of the Week on WGRC.
And week seven is in the books tonight, and it is Sealands Grove, a winner on the road, going to 4-3 on the season. And Coach Derek Hicks chatting with his team on the field. We'll hear from Coach Hicks in just a couple of moments. As again, a 27-0 victory, a touchdown run to start things off on a short field. Again, the defense got it started, and that 6-yard drive was capped off by a 4-yard run by Schoen. That got the Seals on the board right before the half. Then Schoen recovering a fumble by Shamokin. A number of turnovers by the Indians tonight. Both teams, in fact, with quite a few turnovers. But that one netted a touchdown in the end zone. The extra point made it 13-0. But then a big 70-yard touchdown pass. Impressive play as Danny Schock was able to find Nyland. A beautiful ball. It made it 20-0. That 70-yard touchdown really had things going at that point. So we'll be hearing from Coach Hicks, I think, in just a moment. We can take him there, Chris, if he's ready.
I think Coach Hess is going to take him. He said we were fighting up in the booth to get him first.
Longtime Sealands Grove Seals coach doing some radio now. Dave Hess. So we will, wait.
Wait.
You got Coach Hicks.
Okay. I think Coach Hess has the kids. We're going to get Coach Hicks here. Hey, great second half there. You had two nice passing touchdowns there to Nyland and Metzger. Your defense stood tall. You're able to get out here 27-0. Have a nice push going into next week versus Central Mountain.
Yeah, that's what I told the kids to the kids just now. That was our most complete game of the year. You know, defense played their best game. Offense is starting to put it together. I thought the line was getting a push as the game went on. We got the running game going. Pass protection was great, and Danny made great decisions with the football. And, again, it was by far our most complete game of the season.
It seemed like all game long, whether it was offense or defense, your kids just really played smart. They took what Shamokin gave them when they needed to. They didn't play outside of themselves. They played very disciplined football. You know, how is that as a coach as you keep building week to week to see?
You know, that's the kids are starting to understand the game. You can tell every week we could tell they're starting to figure it out. And especially up front, you could tell, hey, Shamokin, we're running inside. Shamokin's going to blitz outside. Again, take what they're doing, and the linemen got on them. The backs were reading it, making the right cut. And that's just an understanding of what the defense is doing to you and letting it play out and playing smart football. So very proud of what they did there.
Absolutely. Coach, you get Central Mountain at home next week. Should be a good one.
Yeah. I mean, Central Mountain, they played these guys tough. It was a 12-7 ball game, Shamokin won. So, big 5A school coming down. It's our homecoming, so should be a good time.
All right. Hey, wish you well.
All right. Thank you.
Take care.
Well, and we will see Coach Hicks and the rest of the Sealands Grove crew in 2 weeks. And I do want to let people know that next week we're going to have a week off here from our high school football coverage. I do want to mention there's a great concert event that night as Building 429 and Britt Nicole will be at Revival Tabernacle next Friday. But we'll return with our Friday night football action on the 18th as we will have Danville at Sealands Grove. Last we knew, Danville was in a tough go of it when it comes to their game with Montoursville. So, and then before you know it, we've got the end of the season coming up in just a few weeks after that Danville-Sealands Grove game in 2 weeks. The following week, we will have Mifflinburg hosting Lewisburg. So I'm sure some playoff implications all across the board as we get deeper into the final weeks here of the high school football season. Let's take one more break. We'll come back with some final thoughts from the field here tonight in the win column. Sealands Grove 27, Shamokin nothing on the high school football game of the week on WGRC.
Supporting WGRC is Horizon Federal Credit Union, serving residents throughout North Central Pennsylvania, providing a range of banking services, including interest-bearing checking accounts, as well as auto, home equity, and mortgage loans. Online and mobile banking are available, with branch locations in Williamsport and Lock Haven, and ATMs elsewhere in Lycoming and Clinton counties. Online at horizonfcu.org.
Agent Jeff Connor and the staff at the Allstate Insurance Company in Lewisburg are sponsoring WGRC, featuring 24-hour customer service and online policy access, providing a wide range of Allstate Insurance products. They also offer investment advising and financial management services. Jeff Connor's Allstate Insurance office at 1524 West Market Street in Lewisburg at 570-523-9500 and at agents.allstate.com.
Now it's back to the game on WGRC's Football Friday.
And thanks for joining us tonight. I'm Don Castelline, TJ Hertzog, and Chris Miller at the field. In a moment, we're going to hear from our producer, John Callahan, when it comes to tonight's scoreboard. We heard from head football coach Derek Hicks, very happy to get the win here tonight, chatting with you, Chris. And, you saw the smile on his face up close and personal. He was really glad with, I guess, probably all the phases of game that he saw here tonight.
Yeah, I think just all game long, you know, his players continue to build. You know, those are some of the things that TJ pointed out, you know, as the game progressed. You know, just playing very smart football, not shooting themselves in the foot. And, as a coach, that's what you want. You just keep building on each play, on each down, and just keep progressing.
TJ, you know, we had an opportunity to see the Sealands Grove win here tonight, and I'm sure there'll be brighter days ahead for Shamokin, but just a struggle for them tonight really to kind of finish off drives and things like that. But, you know, Sealands Grove, to their credit, saw them really get an opportunity to capitalize on big plays and then really take over the tone of the game as the game played out.
Yeah, and you know, I think I talked about it in pregame. This is that playoff push. This is exactly what Coach Hicks wanted to see. You know, coming into week 7, then week 8, week 9, week 10, you want to be hitting on all cylinders. And he said it in the postgame interview. This was their first complete game, and that's what you want to see. And that's something that you can build on going into next week. Yeah, they had some struggles early in the season. You know, but they're fixing those struggles. And like he said, the kids are just starting to understand the game, and it's slowing down for them, and they're making the plays that they need to do. So I think they have a bright second half or second season mm-hmm. coming up for Sealands Grove.
3 weeks to go in the regular season. Next week it'll be Sealands Grove back at home, homecoming for Central Mountain and Shamokin. They'll be on the road at Danville. Well, let's head back to the studios. John Callahan with tonight's scoreboard.
Okay, Don, this is the way things stand right now tonight. Southern Columbia 56 and Jersey Shore 14. That is a final. Warrior Run 42 and Bloomsburg 7 there late in the fourth. Mount Carmel beat Hughesville 47-7. And Wellsboro beat Milton by the same score, 47-7. Loyal Sock 28 and Mifflinburg nothing there at the fourth quarter. Nativity BVM out in front of Midwest 29-7 in the late fourth. Montoursville beat Danville 46-14. It was Central Columbia 17 and South Williamsport 7. Last we heard, that is late fourth quarter. And Muncie takes home the old shoe if they really want it. The final there, Muncie 27 and Montgomery 7. And Columbia Montour Votech leading Montrose 22-0. They are late in the fourth quarter, and that's how things are right now, Don.
One of these years, they're going to replace that. It's going to be the battle for the new shoe. But at this point in time, you take what's still there. Well, thanks, John. Appreciate that recap there tonight. And again, next week, WGRC has a week off with our Friday night football coverage. And we'll return in 2 weeks. We'll have that battle in Sealands Grove. We'll see if the Ironmen are able to get themselves back on track. They'll be there at Sealands Grove to face the Seals. Again, our final score here tonight from Shamokin. Sealands Grove in the win column beating Shamokin 27-0. For the entire crew, I want to thank you for joining us tonight. John Callahan producing. For Chris Miller, getting through those cooler conditions on the sideline. TJ and I in a nice, warm, toasty press box with the pierogies up here as well. I know.
Just keep it going.
You're slowly warming up.
Don't worry. There's a few more weeks left to go in the season.
Hold your hands over the pierogi pot.
All right. There you go. Well, hey, another Friday night in the books. Keep it tuned here. Lots of great encouraging contemporary Christian music coming your way all weekend long. By the way, you can also check out the schedule and listen to past broadcasts as well by heading to WGRC.com/football. You can listen to the audio there. Have a great weekend and have a great night.
You've been listening to Regional High School Football Action on WGRC. Brought to you by the generous donations of the following grant underwriters:
Millville HPS, Pine Barn Inn, Pondus Farms, Shade Mountain Pharmacy, Steiner's Laundry, Vreeland's Harley Davidson, Basin Coffee Roasting, Better Business Solutions, CR Builders and Sons, Horizon Federal Credit Union, Jeff Connor and Associates Insurance, J.R. Judd Violins, Culp's Transmissions, Melcott Radiator.
Join us again next time for our broadcast of exciting regional high school football action on WGRC.